Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, whoop, whoops. Let me turn that off. Okay. Yeah, it could be, Joe. I never gave it much thought, but you're right. No, hold on. My left hand happened before I got the shot.
Right, that I remember.
Yeah.
But your arm, that was okay. I mean, that started to deteriorate a few weeks after you got the shot.
Nah, my left started pretty quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think maybe you let us know, I guess.
Yeah.
But in any case, maybe you should go see a doctor, you know, as opposed to just thinking that maybe it's not the vaccine. Maybe you can catch something in time before it starts to, if it's as a result of the vaccine, before it,
yeah,
you know, before it deteriorates even further.
All right. Right. I go Wednesday.
Okay, good. Because like I said, I've heard other people who have had arm problems, and I just heard it a few days ago, and I'm thinking, Jesus, I heard about blood clots, but I never heard about the arm problem, so I wasn't really concerned about it with you until I heard that a few days ago.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Hmm. It's only about three or four, I think, but, you know, why wait for the avalanche to start? You know?
Yeah, right. Well, I got their last appointment, so, you know, we'll sit and talk about this thing.
Hey, you know, when you go, you should ask the doctor to put a magnet up there to see if it sticks.
Yeah.
Right? Because you've heard about if the vaccine, what they say about the vaccine is true, they're injecting some nanoparticles that are magnetic into your arm.
Well, yeah.
You know, and they got video of it. You know, they took a little magnet, put it up there on a person's spot where they got injected, and it stayed.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know if they were just fucking around, but who knows?
I don't know either.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I have to try that out.
Yeah, this little house, you know, those little kitchen magnets that you put on the refrigerator?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, one of those, that would do================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================ you doing otherwise? I'm glad that you're here. I look forward now to your show even more than before because of the pandemic.
It's our show, not my show.
When I get the power to put people on mute, then it's my show. Until then, it is your show.
Anybody you want to put on mute or hang up, I can do that, you know.
No, nah, because I would just automatically say flip the switch on Gene. But that isn't right. So, but on my show, yeah, then we can flip the switch on anybody. But on your show, I'm just a treasured caller.
No, I don't look at it that way. You and
Gene. Bianchi and Critic and Gene and Kathy and Dan.
It's all our show.
I know it's our show, but I mean it's.
Well, then what the hell are we arguing about anyway?
I'm not arguing. You are.
Hey, did you see on InfoWars?
Oh yeah.
That little tape of they were comparing two ballots. And,
no, I didn't see that. No.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Comparing, they had the light on it, you know, they put it up like an X-ray,
yeah.
You know, and they're side by side and identical. So somebody
printed them.
Printed them.
Yeah.
They copied, the guy said one batch had 100%.
That I heard. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
Yeah, I would say so.
100% voting for Trump, voting for Biden after the polls closed. Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here.
Not only get out of here, but come over and visit me so I can introduce you to Smith & Wesson.
I think this is it, Joe. I'm not going to swear to it.
These are the most obvious ones where it's clear that it's the same.
one's got the little tail on the side.
It sounds like it.
And so what happened, did you know the numbers of these total batches? Like,
I don't remember what the totals were when the batches. I don't think they weren't disparate. They were fairly close. But the simple fact that they occurred.
You see that little bubble right there? This is one image. Here's another image.
Exactly the
exact same. And the batch number? Was it 5162?
Also, scanner 5162.
Okay, scanner.
Batch number 235, image number 92, matches the same scanner, 5162, batch 234, image 33.
So there you have it. Duplicate ballots. The entire batch is scanned several times.
Yeah. Scanned several times.
You know, we've got so much proof of this fucking
link
bullshit.
Link below and share this important report.
But nobody's doing anything.
No.
Remember, they said, there's no proof. You can go find all these Democrats tweeting this and all these mainstream media people putting out statements saying there was no double counting of the ballots. It never happened.
Ooh.
Actually, the audit in Georgia, specifically Fulton County, where the Democrats cheated to steal Georgia from President Trump to steal our election. Ooh. We now have the results, and they're now starting to publish some of the results from Fulton County. They say that ballots weren't double scanned, but survey says they were.
Survey says.
All right, so what we're looking at here are two different batches of votes, scanner 5162, batch 234, image 59, and scanner 5162, batch 235, image 19. And what you can see is that, like on this vote right here, we've got this exact same little tail that shows on both of them. And if you think that maybe that's just a mistake or a coincidence, here's the next one that shows, you can see Republican is written there, Republican's written there. This is ballot 61. This is ballot number 2. And then each one of them even has this little dot in the Fannie Willis.
Okay, and do you have more of those?
We have the entire batch. I've got 62 images in here total, and I didn't even get a chance to go through all of them. But these are the most obvious ones, where it's clear that it's the same.
Yeah. That was specifically
got the little tail on the side.
Yeah, so you're looking, you look at it, yeah, you could tell. Definitely. Somebody wrote, they're a Republican, but they're voting for Biden.
Hmm.
And they left a dot and one of the little squares, and it lines up with the other ballot.
Yeah.
Imagine that, Joe.
Joe, I'm telling you, I can't imagine it in a country like this with the Pentagon the way that it is.
Joe.
No.
Hold on.
Can we happen here?
We make sure we go to other countries to make sure they have fair elections.
Yeah,
so we remember Iraq. We set up Iraq. We get the purple fingers, thumbs.
Right.
Yeah, I
it
remember
took
that.
20 years to set up Iraq and Afghanistan to have democracy, and now we're pulling out, and the Taliban will be in 5 minutes.
People knew about those crooks in Washington. They'd freak out. They would freak out.
I wish they would, because then we'd have people saying, you know what, enough is enough. And not just get the bums out, but let's prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law and send them to 20 years minimum for treason. Don't we kill traitors? We should kill traitors, I think, don't we? Hmm.
Yeah, we could. We get them.
They deserve.
Well, the first thing I'd do is go dig up John McCain and put him in prison. And that's where he will stay for the rest of it till I'm dead, anyway.
Hmm. Well, that's going to be next in their agenda. It's going to be what was it when we were kids and we watched horror movies and they revitalized the dead? I forget the name. But it was, but if revitalizing the dead, and then put John McCain in the electric chair and electrocute him about once a day.
No, that'd be fine. I could do that. That'd be my job. I would take that job. Somebody sent this to me. Jennifer Roster? Roster, I think is her name. Jennifer,
we're
thank
on the
you.
Air, right? Because you had the you had the music playing. I think you took me into the green room. And did you have any
music? We were in a green room. We were live.
Oh, we were live. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was gonna make sure you didn't say anything out of line. But she sent me this Tucker Carlson about Hunter Biden, and they some other stuff came out on his laptop, I guess.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Happy Friday.
Thank you.
So much happens in the final weeks of the presidential campaign that it's easy to lose track of it. Whatever happened to this or that development in the news, you can't remember. A lot falls between the cracks or overload. Politicians know this, obviously, and they take advantage of it. If they can derail a story until after Election Day, often that story goes away forever. No one really remembers. And that was precisely the thinking behind the Democrats' response to Hunter Biden's laptop. They knew from the first day that the contents of that laptop were, in fact, genuine. Look at what's on there. It may be theoretically possible that some foreign intel service would Photoshop a picture of Hunter Biden's crotch, mostly for self-amusement. But 100 pictures of Hunter Biden's crotch adorned with M&Ms? No. No Russian did that. Those pictures were real. And so were the huge numbers of emails and texts from Hunter Biden explaining how he was selling access to his father, then the vice president, and how his father was helping him do it. So in order to enrich his family, Joe Biden changed this country's foreign policy. That happened, and it was the real crime that Hunter Biden's laptop revealed. That was the real scandal. If voters had understood that, if someone had told them, it might have affected the results of the election.
That's
so they couldn't know. The permanent bureaucracy hid that from the country. In October, a group of corrupt intelligence officials, 50 of them, whose names will live forever in shame, signed a letter blaming Vladimir Putin for the laptop. Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinformation, dozens of former intel officials say. That was the headline in Politico. That was a lie from top to bottom. It was totally unsupported by evidence or intelligence. But it came just in time for the presidential debate. That was the point. Joe Biden picked it up and wielded it like a club from the stage.
We are in a situation where we have foreign countries trying to interfere in the outcome of our election. His own national security advisor told him that what is happening with his buddy, his buddy Rudy Giuliani, he's being used as a Russian pawn. He's being fed information that is Russian, that is not true.
His own national security advisor. That's probably right, but it was a lie. And just 2 months after that debate, the truth began to leak out. According once again to Politico, the Intel world's favorite media tool, quote, a person with firsthand knowledge of the investigation conceded that actually Hunter Biden's laptop was not a Russian fabrication. It was real enough to be used as evidence in an ongoing investigation into, quote, potential money laundering and Hunter Biden's foreign ties. Hunter Biden, we learned, was facing possible indictment for what was on the laptop. The DOJ was looking into Ukrainian and Chinese businessmen who'd been paying Hunter to get close to his father. And they wanted to know why his father was apparently getting 10% of those deals. That's what we learned. And that's all we learned. For 6 months, we heard nothing more. Meanwhile, Hunter Biden got a lot richer. He sold the book that no one read for millions of dollars. Simon & Schuster paid him off. He sold paintings he would never hang anywhere for possibly even more than that. We don't know, because the identities of the people who bought them are still secret.
Can you believe that?
But what you do know for certain is that Hunter Biden was never charged with anything. Why is that? It's kind of weird if you think about it, given that Biden himself, Hunter Biden, admitted on television that the laptop actually didn't come from the Kremlin. Why?
Was that your laptop?
For real? I don't know.
I know, but you know that's...
Don't know if the answer is.
You don't know yes or no if the laptop was
yours. I don't have any idea. I have no idea.
So could have been yours.
Of course, certainly. There could be a laptop out there that was stolen from me. There could be that I was hacked. It could be that there was the that it was Russian intelligence. It could be that it was stolen from me.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
So you'd think a clip like that where he admits it, the 50 intel officials were all lying, you'd think that clip would be a key piece of evidence in the probe into Hunter Biden's finances. Where did all this money come from? Why are foreign governments sending him millions of dollars? Emails on that laptop directly implicate Hunter Biden in his family's foreign influence peddling operation. Joe Biden, his brother, son. So why haven't we heard anything to this day about any of this from the Department of Justice? Good question. And today we got our answer. Naturally, it came from Politico. The magazine reported, meaning it was told, likely for complex reasons we can never really know, that the U.S. attorney in the state of Delaware, a man called David Weiss, had in fact buried the Hunter Biden case and done so on purpose because he was asked to do it. David Weiss decided to do all of this, Politico told us, because he wanted, quote, to avoid taking any actions that could alert the public to the existence of the case in the middle of a presidential election. Well, they're just saying it out loud now. He didn't want to hurt Joe Biden, in other words. And he did this at the request of the Biden family and their lawyers. We learned that from the Politico piece, too. It includes this quote. To Weiss's credit, he listened, said a person involved in the discussion. In other words, he listened to the Bidens and their lawyers. And because he did that, apparently, David Weiss has kept his job as a federal prosecutor. Now, Ben Schreckinger of Politico, needless to say, strongly approves of this. It's not a subversion of justice. It's the right thing. Quote, Weiss's decision to avoid revealing the investigation, a move that might have boosted Donald Trump's campaign, even at the cost of politicizing the probe, was consistent with his sober-minded approach to the job. Attaboy. Got that? When you cover for a Democratic presidential campaign, you are, according to Politico and Ben Schreckinger, a sober-minded prosecutor. You did the right thing. Good job, David Weiss. You used our justice system to get the right team into the White House. Hope you get rewarded. And in case you have any doubt that that's exactly what happened, nothing to do with the time frame before the election, you should know, and you may already know, that the FBI had Hunter Biden's laptop for an entire year before the election.
That's right.
You know, they made a forensic copy of the hard drive in 2019. But they did nothing, and they still haven't. Now they don't have time. They're too busy hunting down senior citizens who talk about election integrity, the fabled insurrectionists. They can't do anything about the subversion of Americans' foreign policy by the Bidens because they're busy with the insurrectionists. Maybe someday, when it no longer matters, Politico will tell us that story. In the meantime, we can look forward to more treatment like this for dissidents who oppose the regime in any way. As a reminder, here's what happens to any American who mocks the people in power.
Exclusive footage you're looking at right now from CNN as the FBI arrives at Roger Stone's residence in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, taking him into custody. They arrived before dawn there, before 6 a.m. or just after 6 a.m. A dozen officers were told.
FBI, open the door.
That was Roger Stone, of course. They rousted him and his wife, both of them senior citizens, by the way, because he made the mistake of texting unflattering things about federal prosecutors and the government read his text. But Hunter Biden doesn't have to worry about any of that. He doesn't have to worry about the SWAT team showing up at his house at dawn with a CNN camera crew in tow. Hunter Biden can violate all the federal gun laws he wants, and he has, and he knows he'll never be charged. Merrick Garland works for his dad, so he's fine. He can do literally whatever he wants, and as we've seen, he definitely has. But there's a different standard for you. If you step out of line, you're done. And they mean it, too. Ask Ashley Babbitt's family or the Chewbacca guy, the harmless shaman of January 6th. He's still in solitary confinement tonight.
Yeah, he's still in solitary confinement. Can you believe that?
Yes. When they find out from those so-called insurrectionists from January 6th that they're Trump supporters, they go straight to solitary. The other ones, they get let out so they can continue going from city to city wrecking
right. Let me get Bianchi from the great state of Louisiana.
What do you say to that, Donnie?
Down in Louisiana.
How's everybody?
Sarge
is supposed to drop by. He ain't dropped by yet, have he?
He's in the, there's a Sarge 1C in the camera.
I'm going to come on and speak. He's a good
Come
person.
Come on in, Sarge.
Yeah.
Water's warm.
So when did you talk to him? Because I invited him yesterday to come over.
He doesn't listen to you.
Well, thank you, Donnie. I didn't want to put it like that, but...
I know.
Where's Big Kathy and them?
I just seen their number pop up.
Ah, good.
They haven't pushed one yet.
No, okay.
Yeah, I've been...
She's kind of busy.
I've been on my alien and Bigfoot craze, so...
You've been checking Bigfoot out, huh? Let me get Kathy and Daniel on, and we have a Skype number, and I think that probably is Sarge.
Probably.
Yes, so. Daniel, Sarge, I think.
Hey, hey.
Hey, Daniel.
Hello.
Hey, Kat.
Hey,
like
she's
any
not,
good vampire,
a...
I cannot resist an invitation to come into the house.
That's right.
Sarge.
Right.
Right.
How you doing?
Let me introduce you around, Sarge. You already know Pianki.
Of course I do. The gentleman and I have spoken on many occasions.
That's right. The host of the show is, I guess I'll call him a gentleman just for, I don't know why, but his name is Donnie.
Yeah. Hello, Sarge.
Pleased to meet you, Donnie. How are you, sir?
You're very good, sir.
And
you.
He's actually got family members who don't mind speaking to him. One of them is called Kathy. Kathy, this is Sarge. Sarge, this is Kathy. I mean, she's there. It's not Danny came in. Daniel, this is Sarge. Sarge, this is Daniel.
Oz, Kathy, et al., pleased to meet you.
Well, they must have gone to get a sandwich. They'll be back. In any case, this is Sarge. He's been around for a long time, a staunch conservative. And you will enjoy his company because he will bring facts, research, details.
Outstanding.
All righty. So, I'm glad you're here, Sarge.
We got another Skype number. Skype, you're on with us.
Yo, yo, yo. It's your John Doe. Hey, Sarge. Hey, Pianki. Hey, Don. Hey, everybody. Joe.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
John, you're early. That's why he didn't know it was you.
Well, yeah, I guess maybe he learned his lesson. He knew that he had to call in before 11, because when we go for 2 hours afterwards, if he doesn't stay on the phone, he's going to be cut off.
Hello, everybody.
Kathy.
There she is.
Hey, Big Kathy.
Hey there. How is everybody tonight?
Everybody's fine. Oh, I want to introduce you to a new arrival, somebody who's been on Block Talk for a while. Sarge. Sarge, this is Kathy. Kathy, Sarge.
Nice to meet you, Sarge.
Pleased to meet your acquaintance too, Kathy. How are you?
I am doing fine. It'll be good to hear some of what you've got to say.
Well, somebody needs to say it.
Yeah, that's a rip, Sarge.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to your take on the election. And what's coming out of Maricopa County and Fulton County in Georgia is eye-opening, to say the least. Not just narratives about a stolen election, because we all know the election was stolen. Or there is, even without a shred of evidence, not one scintilla of data to indicate the election was stolen. No one on God's green earth is ever going to convince me that the senile, doddering old goat named Joe Biden was the most popular presidential candidate in the history of the United States. There is nothing that's ever going to make me believe it, even if I have to accept the results, because everyone says they're honestly arrived at. Well, not everybody, but the powers that be. But it just so happens we are getting evidence that contravenes this official narrative in the form of ballots and non-registered voters who are listed as registered that voted. Almost 11,000 of them in Maricopa County alone, along with about 74,000 ballots that are of questionable origin. It's not looking good for the Biden camp and the people who believe he was lawfully elected.
Now, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And like this was in Atlanta, Fulton County, they were showing, you know, this is how we check, and they had somebody made copies of these ballots, and it's obvious as hell, and they had a little tail sticking out on one, the other one had a little tail, yeah.
What?
So Fulton
now,
County.
Before I go any further, though, look, you got to understand, I'm a veteran of the Obama counterfeit birth certificate wars, and we had two forensic document firms on two separate continents, well-regarded, highly qualified forensic document firms that were able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Barack Obama's birth certificate was counterfeit. They were able to show the innumerable places where it had been counterfeited. You had different fonts on a document of Sulzerman type with a cartridge typewriter, right. And literally on the same document at different fonts. Despite all of this, no court would hear the case.
Right.
So
yep.
I'm really, as being a veteran of that and being extremely disappointed that none of that could ever get entered into court, it seems to me these days that if the powers that be are determined to keep a matter from being adjudicated, then by God, they will do exactly that.
Well, that's true, too.
Doesn't matter how much fact, how much information, how reliable it is, if they don't want it there, they will shut it down. We just heard that Chucky-looking spokesperson for the White House, that Jen Psaki, she got up there and was telling us just the other day that that if you're deplatformed on one social media outlet, you should be deplatformed on them all, and that the White House is going to encourage social media platforms to do exactly that, to be proxies for and contractors for the White House to violate your First Amendment rights.
That's right.
And there's almost no discussion about this.
No, I couldn't believe it. She said that at the podium, and I couldn't believe she said that. And then she said it again. And then that's when she said, if you get kicked off of Facebook, you should be kicked off of all social media. Now, whoa.
It is unreal. We just had a chairman of the Joint Chiefs Staff that's credibly accused of plotting a coup against the President of the United States, along with making statements that are simply inimical to good prejudice and order within the armed forces of the United States at the very highest level of the armed forces of the United States. And I'm not saying it's true. I say we would need more of an inquiry. But it does sound credible. And no one is even saying they're going to look into it to see if it's credible or not.
No, and he hasn't denied it.
We're seeing the most amazing things I thought I'd ever see in my lifetime in the government of the United States. I mean, endemic corruption at the highest levels, and people are barely blinking at it.
Yeah, Millie, I couldn't believe he wrote that. And he hasn't come out and denied it. He has not denied it.
After watching his performance with regard to critical race theory before that congressional hearing the other day, yes, I definitely believe he could write that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not saying that he did, but do I believe he's capable of it? Absolutely.
Yeah. I do agree. Joe, wake up. Bianchi.
We're here.
We're still listening. You know, the highly regarded Constitution, I've been listening to for a while, and it's always good to find someone who has expressed shares and expressed views and ideology.
You're breaking up, Bianchi.
Yeah. I've been having a on this phone this week. I don't know. But.
You can't buy a Chinese phone at Walmart.
Yeah.
Well, then you can't buy a phone then. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess you can get a Korean phone. Samsung ought to be okay, right? Sony ought to be okay.
There is a phone, and I'll find it. They sent me a flyer on it, wanted me to ask me to bring it up, and I got it's the Freedom phone. And it's got, I got to find it. It's go ahead, Bianchi. Did you get straightened out? I'll find my stuff and you keep going.
He ain't ever going to get straightened out, Donnie, if he keeps using Obama phones.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I think it's the internet. This phone is
charged. You're really breaking up.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
Sarge.
Yes, sir.
I've got a question for you, if you don't mind.
I never mind legitimate questions. I love them.
Okay, good deal. If we will, of course, the military already has the information regarding the election as being fraudulent and whatnot. So what steps is our government going to take, or Trump's administration, or, you know, whatever you believe in, ever how you believe things have gone down, to get Trump back in office, or is that not an option? What's your thoughts on it?
Well, were you speaking of a military option, or are you speaking of a legal and constitutional option?
Well, you know, whatever it takes. I think the winner should be placed in office myself.
Well, I'd like to go with the explanation of the military option first. Mm-hmm. The only legitimate role for the military involving the ascension or descension in office of the president is that has to do with protecting and defending the Constitution of the United States. As a general rule, we believe the military is supposed to remain apolitical, and it's only supposed to be committed under an Article 4 provision to ensure a Republican form of government within the states upon application of the executive or the legislature of those states. Now, I'm talking about the Constitution here. I'm not talking about what people might just do if they're just pissed off and outraged. Okay?
Right.
I'm talking about what the Constitution says it can do. The federal government shall ensure a Republican form of government to every state. And that's in Article 4. So I would imagine that the role of the armed forces, no matter what, would be to ensure that by whatever means now is up in the air. But I do have a method. I was speaking about it with Bianchi today that is absolutely legal and constitutional and even has a historical precedent. And if you don't mind, I'll tell you what it is.
Love to hear it.
Okay. Back on October 10th, 1973, while facing charges of corruption and tax evasion, Spiro Agnew resigned the vice presidency. President Nixon appointed Gerald Ford to the position. Both houses of Congress, under the 25th Amendment provision, confirmed Gerald Ford to the vice president's position. Now, we know what happened subsequent to that when Richard Nixon was facing a bipartisan impeachment over Watergate. Nixon resigned, and voila, Ford became president of the United States. So now we don't have to have a hypothetical. It actually happened well within living memory. So we got that established. Now, similarly, let's envision Harris, that's Kamala, the moron in the president's office right now. Let's say she's compelled to resign after actual evidence, and this is key, has established beyond any doubt whatsoever, that's reasonable anyway, that massive electoral fraud occurred that tipped the election to Joe Biden. And in addition to the already established constitutional violations involving the Article II electoral process and involving state legislative authority, and the revelation that's generally accepted that Trump was actually the electoral victor. Now, Harris then is compelled to resign, whether because of pressure involving potential prosecution because she did something criminal, which wouldn't surprise me, more likely simply because she's a numbskull, which she really is, or because she's been convinced, and I put that in quote unquote, convinced, that his resignation's in the best interest of the nation. Biden himself, under overwhelming pressure to avoid the joint because of Hunter Biden revelations of what's on a laptop, a corruption involving Ukraine and China, and all the rest of his corrupt, crime-ridden past, then decides to appoint Trump as vice president to avoid prosecution. Both houses of Congress, facing massive pressure from the public, who wants the rightfully elected president to become vice president. They confirm his nomination as vice president. Biden then resigns, remember, under this pressure, political pressure, and possibly criminally prosecuting pressure. Biden resigns, and Trump then becomes president legally and constitutionally. Again, who would have thunk that there would have been two executive resignations in 1973 that led to Gerald Ford becoming president, but it actually happened, didn't it?
Sure did. You're right. You're totally right.
So I'm just saying that would be a way for president to become Trump completely legally, completely constitutionally, no need for force of arms until, of course, after he becomes president, when the lunatics and Antifa, BLM, and all these demented fools on the left go crazy and start rioting. Then it'd be time to set up the belt-fed machine guns and mow them down. But until then, it would be legal, it would be constitutional, and nobody could say there was any hint of illegality about it. But again, those things would have to occur. There had to be massive political pressure, and there had to be indisputable evidence beyond any doubt whatsoever that the election was stolen from Donald Trump. I believe that's a possibility.
Good deal. I appreciate it. I've been wondering that. We've been talking about it for a few shows now.
But beyond that, I really don't see any method in the Constitution for restoration of an election other than by force of arms. I mean, once the Electoral College is voted and the issue has been decided, but again, remember, we're in uncharted waters and nothing like this has ever happened before. Nothing. Nothing.
Right.
Right.
But we're on a charter of waters. For every constitutional wrong, there's supposed to be a constitutional remedy. And I would imagine the only other thing I can think of, other than what I just said, is that the court says the electors that were illegitimately decided have to be redecided in a special election. Another special election is held. And then a new set of electors is set to the Electoral College.
Right.
And then we see what that number is.
And the Supreme Court could definitely do that, right?
Now, I don't know. See, like I said, we're on charter waters. I know they're afraid to. I know they don't want to. So the question is, would they have the will to do so? But I would imagine that would be a constitutional remedy because all of the election isn't in dispute. I think at least 44 of the states are considered, you know, within the normal realm of election fraud that didn't probably tip the balance. Because remember, we got 50 separate electoral elections for president. You got 50 elections for president in 50 states. Not all of them were illegitimate. Six are really under severe scrutiny and question. Those six might have to be redecided, sent back to the states for a special election and another election. That could be a remedy the Supreme Court could issue. Everyone says, oh, they'd never do it, while at the same time admitting we're in uncharted waters.
Right.
Who knows?
That still sounds terrible.
Yeah, that was similar to what you were talking about last week, Daniel.
Yeah.
I like the first option better because there is a political measure to it. Like I said, just imagine 20 to 25% of a pissed-off Trump electorate in possession of solid evidence the election was stolen from them, putting pressure on both houses of Congress and on the executive branch. Look at what's going on in this country with a minority of a minority of a minority doing what they're doing after George Floyd and all this other stuff. They got the country half paralyzed. Just think of the Trump electorate being comparably pissed off and in the streets.
Do I still sound pitiful?
Well, you sound better. Let me get Critic on real quick. Critic, you're on, my friend. You're all right there. Bianchi, you sound a little better.
You know, another thing, too, you see with these illegals coming in is a reenactment of the Three-Fifth Compromise. And what they're doing, they're putting these illegals in these Democratic depleted population areas where they can be counted toward representation. Now, they can't vote. They shouldn't be voting. They're illegal. But they can be counted toward representation, thus by allowing more Congress people
that's going to come from Democratic areas. Especially like these cities. Like St. Louis is a bleeding population. But you may still have 20, you may still have 200 people in there that's staunch Democrat. Well, if you brought in another 50,000 illegal, can't vote, those 25 Democrats that's still there could vote for a Democratic candidate. And he will win with just 25 votes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Bianca and I were talking about this earlier today, this very issue. And I was asking him, and I'd like to hear your opinion on this. The Constitution, Article 1, Section 2 says that representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among several states which may be included within this union according to the respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding the whole number of free persons, including those bound to service for a term of years, that would be indentured servants, and excluding Indians not taxed. And since all Indians have been pretty much citizens since 1924, I guess that wouldn't include them. But then they say three-fifths of all other persons. Now, are the illegal aliens in the free person category, or since they're not either indentured servants and they're not enslaved, but are they three-fifths of all other persons or not? Or would they be counted as a whole person? That's what I got the question about.
I wouldn't see why illegal immigrants would be counted as anybody with regards to voting. They're not American citizens.
Yeah, but the courts have said that they are. I believe there's a court ruling that say they have to be counted for purposes of congressional representation.
Yeah, they got to be counted on the census, but they can't vote. They're not citizens.
Well, but that includes for congressional representation, though. I understand for the census. But does that include apportionment for Congress?
Well, yeah, it does. But, you know, another thing it does, too, it causes the state to have to pay more taxes back during that time when they was apportionate. And what they mean, you had 34 states. Well, I don't know how many states you had around the compromise. I know you had 34 states during the time of the Civil War.
Yeah.
But if you had 20 states, well, in the federal budget, the federal debt was, let's say, $10,000, where those 20 states would include money toward that $10,000 based
right.
on the number of people they got in their population.
Right. That was before the 16th Amendment, of course.
Yeah,
but Bianchi, slaves were legally in the country. I mean, they might have been slaves, but they were there legally. Illegal aliens ain't even supposed to be in the country.
Well, you're right. So it's one of those, but slaves didn't have, slaves' domicile was where they came from. Now, of course, after generation after generation, that's hard to kind of swallow, too. It's a peculiar position with slaves, to be truthful with you. A very, very peculiar position because Monroe created life for them. Lincoln really wanted to send them back where they came from, and there was opportunity for that. There was at least two back to Africa movements in the late 1700s and another one in the early 1800s that turned out to be total failure. So what we have.
Well, like you say, it's strange, but the Constitution at the time it was written did take into account slaves as being, if they were enslaved, they were three-fifths of all other persons for purposes of congressional apportionment. So the Constitution did take into account they were there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, make sure you got your shoes on, John Doe.
Make sure I got my shoes on?
Yes, sir.
That went over my head, but thank you anyway.
Okay. Jump on in, buddy.
Now, one thing I want to point out, too, is that Article 1, Section 2 clause, third clause there, was actually changed by Section 2 of the 14th Amendment and taken into consideration the 13th Amendment on slavery. So that's where they got rid of the three-fifths and made everybody a whole person, but they were still only, depending on what time you want to look at it, only referring to males 21 years or older.
you know, a later time they changed the number to 16 and they added a women. But I don't know if that helps understand it any better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the only thing I really understand right now is this illegal immigration issue has got to be dealt with, and it's got to be dealt with in a manner other than the way the Biden administration is trying to do it, surreptitiously, without letting the American people understand the full impact of what they're doing. They're doing everything undercover. They're not telling us that the armed forces are being used, the Air Force is being used to ship them all around the United States to communities who are not even aware that they're coming in.
And they come into those communities that's marginal, and also they're trying to make these red states purple and, of course, then blue. Trump,
yeah.
Trump made the statement that the only people that should be counted for the census were citizens. And, of course, the courts came back and said something different. So
figures.
That's got to be there. That's the plot that they have. The plot that they have is bringing these illegals, keeping the DACAs, so that they are counted toward representation. Then you have added members to the Congress. You're not the states only can get two. But added members to the Congress would give them the lead that they want.
And right now, federal election law says that non-citizens may not vote in any federal election, which would be, of course, elections for Congress, Senate, and, of course, the presidency. Now, there are actually moves afoot in these states to allow illegal aliens to actually vote in local elections.
Yes.
Some states are looking to try to get them to be allowed to vote in statewide elections.
Now, you say, how is this going to make a difference? As I said before, these heavily Democrat, what was a heavy Democratic area, people are moving. And they are on the verge of losing representation. But if you bring a bunch of illegals in that can be counted toward the populace, counted toward that representation, then you either keep that congressperson or, in some cases, you can add another one.
Yeah. And to be honest, you get congressional representatives and senators who be willing to change federal election law to allow illegal aliens to vote.
Allow illegal aliens to vote for?
Yeah,
DC,
I mean, if
they become statehood,
there's nothing in the Constitution to prohibit them from voting.
Right. To allow DC to be a state.
Democrats who are willing to do it, all they got to do is change federal election law.
To allow Puerto Rico to be a state? Hell, they may want Mexico to be a state.
Tell me about it. Look, I don't see the Democrats putting any limits on themselves if they think they can get away with it. Honest to God, this party is beyond anything I've ever envisioned it could possibly be. Do you think Jack Kennedy would recognize anything about this modern-day Democratic Party at all?
No.
He's all of a sudden resurrected in the grave.
We talked about that before. No.
Jack Kennedy would sprint back to his coffin.
I include the Republican Party with that, Sarge.
Absolutely.
The Democrats and those are getting away with what they're getting away with because everybody else is standing by letting them do it.
Well, I can't argue with you there. But the impetus for this, as corrupt as some Republicans are, and they are there, and it certainly wouldn't be possible without them enabling it to a great degree, the impetus for it is coming from the Democrat Party. And it's being impelled by the Democrat Party. You got corrupt, Vichyite Republicans that go along with it either for personal gain or because they're pusillanimous and cowardly or a combination of both.
No, they're playing the wingman. They're playing the Abbott and Costello. One guy's playing the stupid part while the other guy's playing the stand-up intelligent part. They're all both two sides of the same coin, deep state corporation, you know, global operators.
Well, I got to agree with you. The net result is the same. So whatever they are, we got to stop them. But we're not going to have a constitution. We're not going to have liberties. Well, they're going to just totally negate every traditional value this country was founded on. I mean, every one of them. So whatever their motive and however they arrived at the point they are now, they've got to be stopped.
I agree. Friday, somebody sent this to me. Friday sent me an email, said Friday a judge in Texas ruled illegal an Obama-era program that prevents the deportation of thousands of DACA children. And he said that's illegal. So now Democrats are scrambling. That'll be overturned, but at least we had one judge that was awake.
Yeah, we do get them every now and then, like that judge in California with the assault weapons thing. But naturally, you know, the en banc. Has that case been heard en banc yet?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No.
But every once in a while, like you said, we do get some judges that get it right. And, they got to be applauded, so maybe more will get the guts to do the right thing.
Yeah. Like our Supreme Court.
I was really, flabbergasted. The ultimate Article 3 issue, the validity of an election, and a clear violation of the Article 2 clause dealing with electors, clear violation of it, and they wouldn't take the case. A clear violation. Secretaries of State and governors changed election law on their own initiative, along with some judges like in Pennsylvania, and the Supreme Court wouldn't hear the case to determine whether or not that is constitutional for them to do. It's staggering.
It is. Michigan was right there, too. Jeez.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. Yeah, they
backed right. That would be the most disappointing thing I've ever heard. But then again, I'm kind of used to it. I should be used to it because, after all, Barack Obama, Kamala Harris, is not a natural-born citizen, neither, but we couldn't get that heard in the courts either. That's clear Article 3 issue. Is a person whom both of whose parents were not citizens and were, in fact, under the citizenship laws of other nations, born citizens of that country under their citizenship laws, like both Obama and Harris were, can that person be an Article 2 eligible executive? And the Supreme Court wouldn't hear the case. Wouldn't hear it. You're a lunatic. You're crazy if you even ask the question. I'm getting kind of used to this.
Yeah. You ask the wrong question, or which is the right question, you're racist. They call you every name in the book. Racist start off. First thing they call you is a racist. You can't.
But it ain't got nothing to do with race, because, by the way, John McCain wasn't a natural-born citizen either. He wasn't either.
Panama.
It doesn't have anything to do with race. It got to do with the birth status, citizenship status of your parents and where you were born. Both go together.
John McCain
got nothing to do with race.
Was born in U.S. territory, though.
Huh?
John McCain was born in the U.S. territory, though.
No, he wasn't. He was born in the South City of Panama City, and according to his birth certificate, he was born in Cologne Hospital, Panama City, which is a sovereign part of Panama. It wasn't even a military base, which still wouldn't be a sovereign part of Panama. Which still wouldn't be United States law, even if it was on a military base, because the military leases Panamanian soil from Panama, or wherever we are.
No, that was my mistake. I was thinking of Barry Goldwater at the time.
Yeah, Barry Goldwater. But no, McCain was born in according to his birth certificate that he submitted, he was born in Cologne Hospital in Panama City. So he's not a natural-born citizen. He's a citizen, yes. He was a citizen at birth by virtue of the Immigration and Naturalization Act. But he was not a natural-born citizen.
Yeah. Because Panama was under American domination at that point, and we were the major controllers of that area at the point he was born. It is considered American territory, and that falls under the fact that he can be considered a natural-born citizen because both of his parents were on duty or over in that Panama area under the, Army or Navy or whatever military branch he was in. But
okay, I don't know if you guys ever heard of a gentleman named Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel John Michaelis. He was commander of the Wolfhound Regiment in the Korean War. He's a natural-born United States citizen, and so is his wife. They had a child just when the Korean War broke out on June 25th, 1950. They had a child that was born in the hospital there. There was a book called The Korean War. I forget the name of it right now. Really a great study of the Korean War. And he's detailing what happened on the birth of his daughter when his daughter was born. Remember, he's a natural-born U.S. citizen, John Michaelis. His wife is also. They are serving their country overseas in Japan. His daughter was born in the hospital, the Army hospital on Honshu in Japan. Here's what Michaelis wrote in this book. He said, "We had a child, a daughter. I just barely had time to go down to the American embassy and have my daughter registered so she wouldn't be a Japanese citizen." In other words, this natural-born American citizen and his natural-born American citizen wife, if that child had been born in the United States Army Hospital on Honshu, remember, United States Army Hospital, that child, under Japanese law, would have been a Japanese citizen.
Well,
so due to the status of forces agreement between the United States Army and the Japanese government, American citizens, children of American citizens there, whether they're serving in the Army or whether they're serving, you know, in the PX or whatever, if they would register the birth of their citizens with a consulate and a Japanese consulate, then Japan would waive their citizenship rights to have their child considered Japanese citizen. But without it, his daughter would have been a Japanese citizen as well as a United States citizen. John McCain's status was the same. He was not a natural-born citizen.
No, that's not the
and
same.
And Panama
Sergeant.
Was a sovereign country when he was
no,
born in 1934.
We had already taken control of Panama. It was our property and our territory at that point. We just recently,
Panama
within the last 10 or...
Panama Canal, but not Panama City. Panama City was part of the sovereign soil of Panama. The he wasn't born in the Panama Canal Zone.
Well, let's face it,
okay,
both
well,
sides.
You may, have me on a technicality there that I just am not privy to. But Ted Cruz
but
and Marco
remember,
Rubio
like said, you know,
have
the
same problem,
Michaelis,
and they're not considered natural-born citizens. Or
one
Army
at a time,
hospital.
Guys.
His daughter was born in a U.S. Army hospital, and she still would have been a Japanese citizen if they hadn't registered her birth.
What about
because the United States Army has to lease the military base from Japan. It's still Japanese soil. If it wasn't, any Japanese worker who gives birth to a child on an Army base would have a child as a citizen just like they would have given birth in an embassy.
Well, like John said, you know more about the technicality than he has, so... he probably do his research and probably
not,
come back.
It's literally not a technicality. I mean, like I said, an embassy is United States soil, no matter where it is.
Well,
I mean, it literally is United States soil.
I'm referring to the fact whether a certain particular piece of land was under the actual control of the United States or not. And I accept your premise that, you know, certain aspects of the Panama City were not under the same jurisdiction of the Panama Canal. So I don't know the details, and that's what I was referring to as technicality.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that at that time, Panama was a sovereign country. It had its own government, had its own constitution. It was completely sovereign, save for the Panama Canal Zone, which was under the jurisdictional control of the United States. That area of the United States, by treaty, the United States had negotiated a treaty with Panama, and they had agreed that that zone would be under, actually it was under concurrent jurisdiction, really, but the United States really had most of the control.
Well, don't think that I'm trying to take up for Senator Gone Insane, because I never did like the guy.
Hey, I know you're not. I don't think you like him any more than I do. But my objection to him isn't based on the fact that I didn't like him. My objection to him would be the same as it. But Ted Cruz, I like Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz wasn't a natural born citizen either. I like him. But he was
and
born
Marco
in
Rubio.
Canada. He was born in Canada, and the reason he's a U.S. citizen is because his mother was a U.S. citizen. That's why he's a U.S. citizen. He was a U.S. citizen under the Immigration and Naturalization Act, and he was born in Canada. He had to, remember what he said he had to do? He said he went
never
to
got naturalized.
Embassy. Remember what he said he did? He said he went to the Canadian embassy and renounced his Canadian citizenship. What natural-born citizen ever has to do a thing like that?
But he never got naturalized here in the States. He just went out to Canada and denounced his, you know, dual citizenship from that side.
Well, you may be right about that. I'm not sure about that aspect of it. He might not even be a citizen. I don't know.
And due to the fact that his dad never was an actual full-blown citizen or naturalized at the point that he, you know, came into America, he would have never qualified anyway without going through naturalization in America.
Yeah. Well, see, all this is like, what's the term they use, moot? Because right now they're all but making illegal alien citizens.
Just about.
I mean, that's why this issue was so important, I thought, at the time it started, because the immigration issue was really just starting to heat up. You know, and I'm saying to myself, here we got a guy who is not a natural-born citizen. The Constitution clearly says you got to be a natural-born citizen. I mean, Kamala Harris is identical to Wong Kim Ark versus U.S. decision 1898. She's identical to him. And the Supreme Court said that Wong Kim Ark was a citizen because both of his parents were here legally, and they were born, and Wong Kim Ark was born in California. So was Kamala Harris. They didn't say he was a natural-born citizen. They said he was a citizen because they passed the 14th Amendment in 1868.
I understand Nikki Haley is kind of in that same boat, and she's supposedly, you know, out running around talking to people like she might be running for office for 2024.
Right. Think about it for a minute. Without the 14th Amendment, according to the Wong Kim Ark decision, Kamala Harris would not even be a citizen. The 14th Amendment was passed in 1868. The Article 2 was ratified in 1787. The 14th Amendment does not refer to or alter Article 2 in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It simply has to deal with, well, they really passed it so slaves who had been born in the state could be citizens of the United States first and then citizens of the state wherein they were born. That was the whole point of the 14th Amendment. Not to,
hey,
not to make them eligible to run for president.
Hey, Sarge, if you go to constitutionassociation.com, they had a lawsuit that they were taking before the courts to prove that Kamala Harris was not a legitimate nominee for vice president. And just like all the other cases, the court systems was like, well, there's no standing here to really take that up, which is a bogus.
They keep doing that. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to go near it. Misinterpretation
of standing.
They don't want to go near it for whatever reason. They're just terrified to address it.
Well, you know, if you really look at the Federal Registry, which is nothing more than the minutes of the sessions, the vote count for the 14th Amendment was not there. I think it was short, maybe one or two votes at the time it was taken. Same thing with the 13th.
Well, remember what they did, though, Bianchi. They kicked the Confederate states out of the vote. Remember? They didn't allow them to vote on this ratification.
So
they had a quorum without
fraud.
Federal states there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's what they did. They knew they weren't going to vote for that. They knew that the federal states voted for the 13th Amendment. But they knew they were not going to vote for the 14th Amendment. So when they held that vote to ratify it, they were excluded from voting on it.
Purple pill, chill out.
What did Purple pill say?
He's going crazy.
Hey, look up the history of the 14th Amendment and its ratification. It's really kind of eye-opening.
I should go to the chat room and see what he said.
That's why a lot of people say the 14th Amendment isn't constitutional, but I believe in the language of it, they foreclosed a Supreme Court. Yeah, they did. They foreclosed the Supreme Court examining the constitutionality of its ratification. I think, in the ratification legislation.
Well, a couple of states didn't ratify the Louisville Amendment until like in 1976, so it must. I think Mississippi was much, much, much recent. So there must have been some controversies.
Yeah, but without the Confederate states in there, they were able to secure 3/4 of the states that were voting. And that's the reason they kicked them out, because they wanted to get the 14th Amendment passed, and they knew it wasn't going to happen with the Confederate states voting there. At least nine of them were not going to ratify it.
Hmm. So that's how it got ratified. Okay.
I think we have...
Yeah, what kind of question was really murky as to how the 14th Amendment was ratified.
What were you saying, Don?
I think Adrian, is that you I just put on? No, 734, that's not Adrian.
Yes, that's me.
Oh, that
hi,
is
everyone.
Hey, Adrian, how are you?
A lot better.
Well, join the club.
Welcome home.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Purple pill, Sarge, this is Adrian. Adrian Sarge.
Nice
howdy,
to
Adrian.
You,
how art thou?
I'm listening.
She listens, Sarge. She sometimes chimes in, but she mainly listens.
Okay, cool.
Hey, purple
the
pill.
The more the merrier.
Chill out. You don't agree with what we're saying. We get the point. I get the point.
Is he being nasty about it, Don? As if not,
he's being nice.
Oh, okay. He could call in and try to explain it
if he wanted to.
He probably calls in, but if he wants to chat, if he wants to disagree, as long as he's not obnoxious, hey, why not?
Yeah, the object isn't necessarily agreement. The object is clarity. If you don't agree to explain, why not?
Yeah, he's saying Sarge is delusional. Well, call in.
Now, is that supposed to be an argument? Because I'm not delusional. I mean, you could also say I'm a Martian, but that wouldn't make it true.
Well, I don't know about that.
I mustered an argument in support of my position. What this person should do is muster an argument in support of their position. If they can't, I suspect that their argument is suspect.
Well, it is. But with regards to your being a Martian, Sarge, you're going to have to talk to Kathy and Daniel about that.
Okay. I might be an illegal alien. I'm from outer space.
because when we talk about UFOs, that's usually their forte.
Oh, okay, cool.
I heard that, Tianki and Joe.
I wasn't being anything but nice, Cat.
I heard that.
No, you didn't.
Sarge, they make fun of me all the time.
Okay. You ain't had no fun made of you like I have. Believe me, you ain't.
I
sympathize.
Do not,
you and I share a common ground.
Don't listen
yes.
to us, Sarge. They say we make fun of. I do not make fun of you and you or Daniel's observations about the non-terrestrials. You know that.
Oh,
well,
okay.
it's not just that. It's all the other politicals. Sarge, I believe that there are powers to be. There is working on all these problems that you are talking about with the election and everything. I do not believe Biden will stay in office. I do believe Trump will be back. And I do believe there are arrests going on with a lot of these treasonous people. So I believe all that.
That's between you and your family, with Donnie, because you two have known each other for decades. But the rest of us do not. We abide by the same type of premise that you have. We read, and we're supposed to discern. You've also said you read, but you're not sure that it's true. So you've also put that disclaimer there. So since when have Pianki and myself ever made fun of you like that?
Well, I take that back. I apologize.
Okay.
Y'all have it.
Daniel, right. You got the chat room. I'm going to have to go.
But Donnie has called
place.
Me crazy.
Well, he's calling me crazy, too.
I got it, Donnie.
Okay, thank you, brother.
Hey, they call Christopher Columbus crazy, too. And the Wright brothers even crazier than that.
That's true.
So, you know, don't worry about being in the company of people that are crazy. People frequently call you crazy and simply have no vision.
Sarge, I did read the other day that Christopher Columbus didn't discover America, and that he was one of the biggest pedophiles there was.
That's right. That's what they said.
Look, hey, I ain't going there. I don't know anything about the man's sex life. I got to admit, I'm kind of in the dark about that. But I would repeal Columbus Day simply because he ain't an American. I want to take his day away and give it to George Washington. He was the greatest American that ever lived.
Well,
he ought to have his own holiday. We wouldn't be in the United States without George Washington. Mm-hmm. I mean, he don't have his own holiday.
I got off every Columbus Day. I did. You know, and I was glad.
Well, that's
You just want to get the day off.
Change
it to George Washington Day. You still get the day off.
I don't care what they call it.
Do what?
I said, yes, we have to maintain that so that you can have a day off.
Yeah, so I can get that day off, yeah. But Sarge, I do believe that history as we know it is not the way it really happened. I do believe that we have been taught what the deep state for decades and decades wants us to know. And I think we're going to be shocked when a lot of truth comes out.
Well, that's always a fair assessment because the historical record is always being updated, or it should be, when new information comes out. So
yeah.
I can go along with what you say there. But
yeah.
I'm just not gonna automatically discount history that has been taught simply because it might be inaccurate or incomplete. You still gotta come up with some evidence to make me accept the fact that it needs to be revised.
Yeah, I agree. And the evidence will come to light. Well,
about this election, I don't have any doubt about that. The only question is when.
Well, I've got my doubts.
Well, they're
the only question is when. I mean, I know this election was stolen. I know it to my heart and soul to a moral certainty. And like I said, even I will say it's not quite there yet, but it's getting there.
Well, I certainly hope so, but I have a feeling that the election results and what's going to happen as a result, even if the clear evidence is going to come out, is going to take the route of the Durham report.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to need people to raise hell is what it's going to need. I think Kamala Harris, if she did resign, it would be based on her citizenship. I don't know what else they would come up with. But...
Most people don't understand the issue of natural borns. They think it's some kind of racial thing, and it isn't. It's got nothing to do with race. It's got to do with the citizenship of your parents. They don't have to be natural born citizens. They're citizens. And you got to be born in one of the states of the Union, or at least the territory of the United States.
They have to at least be naturalized citizens.
Yeah, that's fine. But any kind of citizenship is okay, provided they are citizens at the time you're born. It can't be retroactive.
Well, to be president, you got to be born
natural.
You got to be a natural born to be president.
You got to be born a citizen by virtue of your parents being citizens, and you can't be born in a foreign state like John McCain was. Both of John McCain's parents were natural born citizens, but he was born in Panama.
Well, let's put it like this, Sarge. Biden said, a couple of months ago, that none of the Bill of Rights are beyond any kind of alteration. Mm.
Well, Biden's a damn fool.
Yeah.
And Sarge is absolutely right. Both parents have to be in the country legally for the child to be legal.
Well, I think the whole gist of this is that, you know, I don't think anybody is really disputing that this election was stolen. You know, anybody, you know, that actually doesn't think is living in delusion land. And the rightful person who was elected president should ascend from it. But I also do think it should teach us that we can't just depend upon one person that thinks that they're going to be able to fix all of our problems, because that is not reality. You know, it takes everybody pitching in there, and, you know.
I agree with you, Critic.
I want
want to be able to go to the polls in 2022 and know my vote counts. That's what
I want. You know, I don't expect any one person to be able to fix the country. That's exactly what I don't expect. Because for one thing, the way the Constitution is set up, we got a system of federalism that disperses powers anyway. That's the whole point. We don't want a dictator to do anything. But I don't want the leader of the country to take policies that are inimical and destructive to the country. And that's what this moron, this senile old goat, and his cackling. Well, I expect any day now to see her when she gets through cackling, when she gets up off the seat, to be laying an egg or something. I ain't never seen nothing like this crazy woman. I swear, I expect to see her lay an egg after she gets up to one of these days.
I notice when she gets
the damnest thing I've ever seen. But anyway, I don't expect them to take policies that are destructive to the nation, like illegal aliens all over the place, like making us energy dependent, like, you know, creating runaway inflation and all the rest of it. I mean, can you at least not do that? Okay, don't fix the country. Okay, you don't have to fix everything wrong in the country. But please, try not to ruin it.
Well, but that's their goal, to do that. That's the whole point.
There was a Democrat. Critic.
No, I was just going to finish up. I'm just saying that too many people have this attitude that, you know, Trump is going to fix everything. And, you know, to a certain extent, and put the persona out there that, you know, he can do it all. No one person can do it all.
Well, there's no doubt about that, but look at what he did. Here's what he did do. He didn't do it all, but this is what he did. He gave us the lowest unemployment I've seen in my lifetime. He gave us a secure border that was becoming more stable by the day. He had given us higher wages, higher median wages for more people than at any other time that I can recall. He had started to redress the tariff imbalance between the United States and China that they were eating our lunch over for the last 30 years. And he was giving people tax cuts. Now, he didn't do everything, but he did a lot that was good.
But I'm not disputing what he did do, but the one big thing that he did not understand, and the one thing that he thought he could go in and do, is make deals with the devil. And you can't do that. He did not understand his enemies. He did not understand.
Well, I can grant you that, but who would not have understood them, too? The man was coming from a background that didn't include, well, now I take that back, too, because he has dealt with politicians, but more on a local level there in New York.
Yeah.
He understood how they operated.
New York might be much worse than New York.
Yeah.
But these are people who are Luciferians, and that's the problem.
Well, people that he trusts to give him the right decisions to make, that
like
help him, they ripped him. They
had
many insiders inside his administration, and including, and I'm sorry to say, but, you know, some members of his family, you know, with especially with Jared, you know, I think, you know, his daughter was basically going on with her husband, but, you know, and, you know, his constituents were warning him about that. It was a lot of things, and the thing that really makes me the angriest, that hits home with me, is this whole thing with this vaccine stuff. And his constituents were warning him about that.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at it from a realistic viewpoint, is all I'm saying. I'm not saying that he didn't have good intentions and stuff. And I want the rightful person who was elected to, you know, to ascend to the office. But I'm just saying that we also have to be realistic about this, too.
Well, if you're saying that Donald Trump made some bad personnel decisions, then I'm going to have to go along with you on that one. One of the worst, of course, being William Barr as his attorney general.
Absolutely.
I'm agree with you on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of these people have been around in that, like Rudy Giuliani. He's been around a long time, and he's been pulling deals. And that's another thing. You got Congress today that want to pull these deals. That's a bunch of bull crap.
Giuliani's been a longtime fan of Donald Trump ever since he dressed up in a skirt and started flirting with him.
I got a question.
Go ahead, Adrian.
Can you explain to me why William Barr was the worst person Trump could have picked?
Is that an open question?
Yes.
You know, when he picked William Barr, I was kind of pleased, frankly, because I knew from what I knew of William Barr, he was an extremely competent prosecutor. He knew the Constitution and the law. As far as his professional competence, I don't think there was much question about that. But here's the thing. He patently ignored prosecutions that were wide open for him to assume. I am referring to Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, the assistant deputy attorney general, what's the name?
Rod Rosenstein.
Yeah, Rosenstein. James Clapper, James Comey, John Clapper, James Comey,
Brennan.
I mean, these are people who he had clear predicates to prosecute and at least convene a grand jury to determine whether or not they should be indicted for perjury, obstruction of justice, abuse of the FISA court, getting false warrants. I mean, all kinds of things. He didn't do a thing to any of these people. I just couldn't believe it. I said to myself, now I know this guy is competent as he is. He knows the law. I mean, I was a police officer 26 years. Hell, I ain't got no law degree. And I could clearly see that these things were wide open predicates to at least launch a grand jury. Nothing. Crickets from William Barr.
Yeah.
And can I weigh in a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish what you were going to say, Don.
I was just going to say, he kind of dropped the ball real quick on the Epstein suicide. And, the two guards just walked away. Slap wrist, that's it.
Now, my hang-up comes from the fact that during George H.W. Bush's reign, he was putting forth the 1,000 points of light globalist, new world order mentality, and Mr. Burr was a part of that corporatist globalist mentality. Now, I don't know if he really bent towards the globalist mindset, but he definitely bends towards the corporatist globes. Corporatist mindset of maintaining power, and so did Secretary of State Pompeo. They both come from that same group. And then whenever you look at what Pence was involved with from his position in Indiana in the same kind of vein, I'm like, it would not surprise me if they figured out that those guys were part of some of the leaks that Trump was always harping about. But I want to also state, when we talk about the power of the United States Constitution and the enumerated powers, don't forget, the only purpose, the limits of those powers is to uphold our inalienable rights, the spirit, hope, and promise of the Declaration of Independence. This perversion of them being able to do all this other stuff they've been doing since 1800 or 1798 has all been just nullification of the Constitution altogether and just giving lip service to the Declaration of Independence.
Did you want to jump in there, Don?
I just, about this Epstein thing, every gal that, every young lady that they spoke to said there was a camera hidden in every room and they had tapes of every room. I want to know where those tapes are, who's on those tapes, and why in the hell aren't they doing anything about it? And Barr dropped a ball on that. As far as I'm concerned, go ahead, Joe.
No, because you're absolutely right. And in what the sergeant was saying, in terms of competency, Barr was supposedly respected as being a person who was either going to uphold the Constitution, or certainly when he was going to get into court, either he or the people delegated underneath him were going to win cases. But what do we hear? Dude, what's the Twilight? I forgot the Twilight Zone theme. But that's why I said I have about as much faith now as I did with Durham, with regards to the election, with regards to the recall of Newsom. It's going to go by the way, the same route that the Durham report of the Durham investigation is going.
Hold on. Now, Adrian asked a question. I don't know if she got the answer she wanted, but I don't know if she was done either. Adrian?
No, it's not about me getting the answer I wanted. I just wanted to hear the different viewpoints.
No, I didn't mean the one you wanted. I meant...
I know you did.
Okay. Well, hey, don't...
Adrian.
I'll tell you
Adrian,
what William Barr really let the ball down.
Because you're making me hungry.
I'll tell you what William Barr really let Donald Trump down on. He let Donald Trump down on that first phony impeachment when they literally impeached the President of the United States for doing his constitutional duty by seeing to it an investigation was carried through with the assistance of a government with whom the United States has a treaty that had been signed under Bill Clinton in 1994 requiring either country to render assistance in a criminal investigation involving either country. William Barr and President Trump announced the investigation in the Rose Garden a month before that phone call he had with President Zelensky. He was investigating corruption involving Joe Biden. And now we discover that if you're running for president, apparently that confers some kind of diplomatic immunity on you or something. I ain't never seen nothing like it. So they literally impeached the President of the United States for doing his sworn constitutional duty.
Now I know. It's, what came out this past week, they brought more things out on Hunter's laptop.
On the laptop?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joe Biden this time, whatever was on these emails that had his name on it.
Well,
I'm
going to tell you, Sarge, if Trump had got reelected, he still would have been facing the same old crowd in the administration.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
made mention about the eavesdropping that they was doing. He was consulting to Ukraine on corruption. The people in the administration, some probably was left over from Obama, was listening in on every damn thing he said and trying through it as to implement him on doing something illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember that it's like with James Comey, when he leaked the contents of his conversations with the President of the United States to a friend in the hopes his friend would leak it so it would go public. James Comey was the director of the FBI, and he knows any conversation you have with the president is automatically classified, and you're not supposed to leak it. That alone should have been a predicate to indict that bastard, and they didn't do it. They didn't do it then. Remember, he testified under oath. The reason he told his friend, that law professor friend of his about it, was in the hopes that his friend would leak it. Remember?
And he did. And he did leak it to the New York Times.
That is a crime right there. Leaking classified information.
That's right. And, yeah.
See, William Barr just let us down on every single level I can think of. He deliberately sidestepped doing his duty, and I know he had the confidence to do it. But for whatever reason, he chose not to.
Hey, I don't have a problem with them leaking stuff. I have a problem with them griping and complaining about it whenever they get caught with their damn pants down when they're trading in our name and stirring up more mess for us to clean up. I don't send my fellow Americans to bleed for the elitist in the world that want to use us as their hitmen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I understand where you're coming from, but it's still a crime. And they were willing to get President Trump. Look how they were willing to. They were after they impeached him and got him out of office. They were going to charge him with a crime.
I stand with Ed Snowden and Julian Assange.
That's what they were going to do.
I stand with Julian Assange and Ed Snowden. They're the ones that's abuse of power. They're creating the rules. It's not the rule of law. It's the rule of man masquerading under the color of law.
when they don't want to give us our due process rights to make sure that all the rules, laws, processes, and procedures are material and direct for all of us represented, then they're committing fraud against us, and that's not rule of law.
I can't argue with it too much about the rule of law being violated these days. I mean, we got all these people being held, like Pionk and me were talking about earlier. We got a two-time Purple Heart veteran, veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan with two Purple Hearts, being held incommunicado without jail at Washington, D.C.
Hang on. I'm getting it. I don't know what the hell happened.
What, did Otis turn on the radio?
Oh, my God. I'm trying to find it. Hang on, guys. What is that?
It sounds like we're being jammed.
What the hell is that?
It's like this Radio Free Europe or something.
Hold on, I can't hear it, Cam.
Sounds like the Electric Light Orchestra.
What the hell is that?
Yeah. I think we're being jammed.
Oh, that was baseball. Jesus.
Okay.
Wow. That was
but
my
anyway, like I was saying, we got a two-time Purple Heart veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan who turned himself in to face the charges. He's being effectively held incommunicado, and he's not being allowed bail. After he turned himself in, he clearly can't be a flight risk. And he turned himself in, and they got him locked up in a joint, in a dungeon. They put him in a dungeon.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we got all these people in BLM and all these other places being let out on bail and sent everywhere around the country. And it's just a disgrace.
It
you
is.
Know, all these people who are attacking federal courthouses and setting federal courthouses on fire and obstructing federal judicial processes, and they're released without bail. In fact, they've dropped the charges against most of them.
You got all kind of stuff going on. Like I was arguing with somebody about the election laws in Georgia, and one guy said he never seen polling lines as long and as congested as it was, and they want to blame whites. But hell, in Fulton County, just like any other county in Georgia, they have their own election commissioners that's supposed to be in charge of making sure things go right at those precinct polling places. And I would bet you a dime to a donut that you have a lot of blacks that's participating in that. So how are you going to say it's white folks that's doing it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
The things we hear from people nowadays, I'm telling you, Kathy, these must be your aliens that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Kathy?
Yeah.
Johnny,
you know.
I told you I am not looking for aliens. They're out there, but I don't want to see them, remember?
Yeah, I heard you say that.
I want to see them, by God.
Dang, you want to look them in the eye.
That's right.
No matter if it's in the center of their forehead, no matter where it is.
Hey, are you here to eat me or, you know, teach me? Which one?
Purple people eater.
Well, they might be following the script of the Twilight Zone episode to serve man, where everybody thinks that the aliens are there to help them cure cancer and other diseases, but in reality are just there to get the people who want to go back to the planet to serve them up as hors d'oeuvres.
You mean, are you thinking of the old Twilight Zone episode, To Serve Man?
That's right.
I knew you got that from somewhere like that, Joe.
Yep, that's why I said To Serve Man. Remember, it was Lurch who...
I saw that one, too.
Yeah.
Twilight Zone was great, man. They did so much on a low budget, black and white, and a half hour. They did a whole lot more than they do now with two.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was Rod Sterling's objective, was to outline, for one thing, probably one of his major parts of his objective was to outline the communist agenda, and he did it with the story.
Donnie, quit that.
A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose
good heaven.
Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
That was great. I knew I was in for a compelling half hour anytime I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I miss Alfred Hitchcock's chin. He had a unique chin.
Oh, yeah, man. That was good, too, man. Yeah. Yeah,
I don't miss the chin. What I miss about Alfred Hitchcock is, and now it's time for an obscene commercial.
Yeah, and you can watch him every night. He's on for 2 episodes every night.
Some of the Outer Limits episodes were pretty on point, too.
Outer Limits. Wow, I forgot about that.
Yeah, remember that one?
Yeah, that was the poor man's version of the Twilight Zone, though. Mm.
Yeah. And One Step Beyond, too. That was pretty good, too.
That wasn't bad. Mm.
That had the most eerily eloquent host. He was perfect. When he introduced the show and all that.
I don't remember.
I'm talking about One Step Beyond.
Yeah, I know. I don't remember.
But it was really eerily eloquent and poised.
Just like the Crypt Keeper, huh?
No, he wasn't like the Crypt Keeper at all, man. He was very well dressed, well spoken. He looked absolutely serene, and his voice was very composed.
Was he fat with a beard?
No, not at all. He was slim. He was slender, well set up. I forget his name, but he was an announcer of some note because of his voice and the manner in which he spoke.
Hmm. I don't remember because I think One Step, that only lasted like one season, I believe.
Well, they're on YouTube if you want to catch some of them. Some are pretty good.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But Twilight Zone certainly earned Rod Sterling $600 for writing.
There is nothing wrong with your television set.
Oh, out of limits here.
Oh, God.
Not attached with the picture. We are controlling transmission.
Right.
If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image. Make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
That was beautiful, really.
I am quick.
That was when America was great.
Yeah, it was.
They were still dirty, Joe, or Bianchi. We just didn't know it.
Yeah, of course they were, but the thing of it was is that the dirt was balanced by greatness.
Right. You know? There wasn't nothing wrong with having a pinky finger every now and then.
There ain't a country that you ever going to see, especially a major country, there ain't going to be a great deal of dirt in it. Not one, there never will be. And that includes this one. But there was enough greatness to more than counterbalance it.
That's why nobody gets in trouble, because everybody's got something on everybody. You know, you bust me, I'll bust you.
And that explains the Bill Barr phenomenon. He must have had something in his past, and they said, Billy Boy, you will comply.
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but you're probably right about that, for sure. You know, that's why I really think President Trump may be the closest we've ever seen to a clean politician to ever get in that office.
Well, they
now,
sure
we know Harry Truman had a lot of shady machine politics in his past in Kansas City, Missouri, and in Missouri politics. We know it. But he did rise above it, see, which is kind of rare. Joe Biden never will, never has, never will. He's always going to be a product of miasma and corruption.
Yeah,
But Harry Truman did rise above, for the most part, the petty corruption and machine politics that he was spawned in.
Yeah, and one of those emails that off of Hunter's laptop was that Joe's sister and brother also got 10% or whatever they were talking about.
Yeah, Joe after they had to kick back money to old Joe for utilities and mortgages.
Yeah, did you see that? That's on an email, too. That Hunter was tired of paying daddy's bills.
yeah,
I remember that.
I mean, this is incredible. And remember, when the FBI came to Rudy Giuliani to get copies of his laptop, he's telling on this laptop is evidence of Hunter Biden's crimes to include child pornography. And what did they say that they told him? Oh, we're not interested.
We're not interested. That's right.
Unbelievable. But it was the kind of endemic corruption we're dealing with now.
Bill Barr had that laptop a year before the election and sat on it.
The FBI, which is under the aegis of the DOJ.
Well, he is the FBI. I mean, he's DOJ.
Mm.
He runs it. But that's true that the FBI could have hit it on him.
That's right.
Sure, yeah. Giuliani had it.
And he offered it up, and when they came to get him, he said, what about this laptop? Your warrant says electronic communication.
Deniability.
And they go, you keep it.
Yeah.
Deniability. Would you let a forensic handwriting expert verify that the receipt that Hunter Biden signed to turn his laptop over to the computer repairman is, in fact, his handwriting?
Yeah.
Russian disinformation my ass.
Hey, Sarge, you remember when Joe Biden was contemplating on running for president and his daughter said, Daddy, you want to go after Hunter?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, speaking of which, remember when all those MSNBC and CNN people were gushing all to four ways, waxing orgasmic over Avenatti?
Oh, yeah.
Running for president. I mean, these people were, like, freaking out, busting nuts right there on TV, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Felder said, oh, you're the greatest thing that ever happened to cable news. Oh.
Oh, gosh. Where it was disgusting. And now it's never mind. They got nothing to say. They got no apologies, no retractions, no updates. They got nothing to say.
I don't care.
Hope you won't remember it or speak of it.
If it's Fox News or MSNBC or CNN, I wish one time they would apologize to the viewers for lying.
And remember, Tucker Carlson called him out on the show after he came out with it. Tucker Carlson had him on there, and they were going at each other on his show, remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
He called him a no-good, low-down sleaze bucket.
He did. He said, you know, you're sitting here in a $3,000 suit, and she's out there on a pole right now, a stripper pole, right now. And how do you feel about that? Oh, yeah.
Dr. Carlson had him red down cold, exactly. You think you're going to give him credit for doing that? Hell no.
No.
Never mind.
Yeah, we played that a lot on this show. Yeah, Tucker really took him down.
He did. It was beautiful.
And then she's suing him now for $300,000. She didn't get a dime for the book she wrote or anything else that she was supposed to get money for, you know, flying all over the country doing interviews. Well, he was charging the network for every time he was on, he was charging them. So,
you know. But we got to realize, here's one thing we got to realize and accept as gospel. Whatever low-down rat bastard these leftists are advocating for, the truth about them is going to come out eventually because it always does. Oh, I mean, look, they elevate Al Sharpton to the status of a sage. Can you believe it? Here's a man who literally got people killed.
I think
literally.
I think with regards to Avenatti and Stormy, whatever her last name is,
Stormy Daniels,
thanks. I think they are the recipient of sweet irony.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Well, it looked like, you got Al Sharpton was behind the Tawana Brawley hoax. Al Sharpton was behind getting Yankel Rosenbaum killed in the Bronx or in Brooklyn. Then you got Freddie's Furniture Mart that he ginned up a crowd. Fool set the place on fire, got 7 people killed in an arson fire. And yet and still this guy hasn't been calling it Korean bloodsuckers. You know, riots burning out Korean grocery stores. And this guy is a sage on CNN. And he ain't apologized for nothing.
Oh, you know what? Oh, Kathy, when you take a look at Al Sharpton, does he remind you of any aliens?
Yeah.
Big head,
one of them bug-eyed creatures from Starship Troopers.
Let me ask you a question, Sarge. If you was to explain to the audience what the purpose of Al Sharpton and how is he being used and who is he using, what would be your short explanation for that question?
An example as to how brazen hypocrisy can out. I mean, the more brazen, the bigger the lie. He's literally proof of Goebbelsian propaganda. The bigger the lie, the bigger you elevate the lie, the more likely it is to succeed. Al Sharpton is a shining example of that.
And who is he talking to when he be speaking, Sarge? Who do they expect for him to be talking to? And I say they, of those that put him in the position that he's in.
The only thing I can figure is that it's got to be some sort of extortion involved.
I can tell you.
People who are behind Al Sharpton are the same people that are ginning up Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all the rest.
Who do they want him to be the moderate voice
or something. I don't know.
Who is he the moderate voice for, Sarge?
That's just it. I'm trying to figure it out.
He's the moderate voice to black people. He's the moderate voice to
them. Sarge, I hate to think that, but maybe he is.
Al Sharpton is there for one reason and one reason only, and he's there to basically get blacks in line with the direction that the deep state want them to be in a direction for. That's different. Democrats. The Democratic policy. Just don't ask no questions. That's basically what it's about. Go to some of those polling places in the hood, and I dare you to be careful pre the ballot that you called over, researched over, in order for you to make a choice. Go walking up there to that poll that in your hand. See those people jump like you eat, then throw
breaking
a lion cage.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean, man, because Al Sharpton has been wrong in every single public policy issue he has ever addressed. Remember, he was there at Crystal Gayle Magnum down at Duke University. He was there at Trayvon Martin with George Zimmerman. I mean, name a public controversy this fool has addressed, and he's been wrong, not just wrong, but agitating wrong in every single instance.
Well, one family told him to take a hike. They didn't want him there. I don't know what family. It was a few years ago, 3 years ago or so.
Well, I have another thought.
Well, hold on just
a minute.
No, while I don't write this second, hang on. We do have Jean. I told her she's on. I don't know if she heard me a long time ago, but she's being awful quiet. But I just got this in.
No, I didn't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jean. Everybody was. All right. Well, let me play this real quick. It's Hunter Biden. This is John Solomon, by the way.
I like him.
So could have been.
Oh, certainly. It, there could be a laptop out there that was stolen from me. There could be that I was hacked. It could be that it was
was Russian intelligence.
No, actually, it wasn't Russian intelligence. The former director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe, he debunked that theory back in October of last year. And new evidence from a retired FBI special agent revealed by our next guest points to it actually being his laptop. Here with his exclusive report is investigative journalist, New York Times best-selling author, and founder of Just the News, John Solomon. John, welcome back. How are you?
It's great to be with you.
So the signature expert says that this is Hunter's signature. Is that correct? And if so, what's the sort of the next step in this?
Yeah, it's a very significant finding. Wayne Barnes is one of the most decorated and trusted agents in the history of the FBI when it comes to signature matching. He's a guy that helped catch old Soviet spies during the Cold War using signature matching and other great counterintelligence tactics. He's a very well-respected among generations of FBI agents. And I asked him to take a look at this receipt that was signed the day that the Hunter Biden laptop was dropped off at Delaware because, as you've heard, Hunter Biden has tried to dodge and suggest maybe the laptop was stolen from him, maybe the Russians got it. The signature on that receipt clearly and unequivocally matches Hunter Biden's other signatures in the public domain, including on his driver's license, on his Social Security card, on documents for the deeds to his home. Wayne Barnes did a month-long comparison, is emphatic. There's not any doubt in his mind Hunter Biden signed that signature.
What did you say?
No, I said, tell it, John. You know.
Oh, okay.
John,
this suggests one of the many lies we were fed during the 2020 election in the Ukraine impeachment. Let's go through those, right, real quickly. We were told Joe Biden never did anything to assist his son. We now have photos of him meeting with his son's business partners on multiple occasions. Not one business partner, multiple. We were told that the Biden diplomat who was in Ukraine during 2016 knew nothing about Burisma except what she read in the newspaper. We found out she met repeatedly with Burisma and Hunter Biden, a colleague, and was reporting very sensitive information to the State Department, including the fact that Burisma allegedly made a bribe while Hunter Biden was on the board. And then we were told, that's not Hunter Biden's laptop. That's Russian disinformation. Hunter Biden's signature is on the receipt. He is the man who dropped off that laptop.
Well, John, I want to press you on that because some might be listening saying, wow, this sounds too good to be true. I want to show our viewers the actual signatures from Hunter Biden versus the signatures in question, which are on the right you're looking at on your screen. How can you be certain this is not forgery?
Well, listen, I'm not an expert, right? I haven't done this, and I know where the limitations of my expertise end. But Wayne Barnes is, we actually showed more than a half dozen signature experts the signatures, almost all of them to a T said this is Hunter Biden's signature. There are unique aspects of how the R and the B are larger than the H, that there's no evidence of tracing or there's a natural fluidity to the writing. In the story, there are many comparison points. I put out the whole 24-page report so people could read every part of the comparison analysis. But we did over a half dozen people. Most people didn't want their name put to it because of the partisan environment. Agent Barnes was kind enough to not only write a detailed report, but stick his name to his analysis. And he's somebody, John, that the FBI has long respected.
John, during the Trump administration, I mean, there was almost not a day, and I'm exaggerating a little there, but there was probably close to not a day when Ivanka, Eric, Don weren't in the news for some speculation of what they could be doing or should have done or something that happened in kindergarten. But yet here you are with a signature match to this. We've seen, you know, text, photos, emails regarding a whole bunch of stuff, illegal drug use, nefarious business things, racist text, right? We said at the beginning of this, you know, award-winning New York Times bestseller, but you were the AP bureau chief. You have been a very well-established journalist in this town. Why is no one but John Solomon reporting on this? If this was Trump, it would be everyone. And yet you have now a top FBI agent basically saying unequivocally, yes, where's the rest of the press corps?
Well, they've been AWOL for 5 or 6 years, right? And let's be honest about it. I don't know. I think we grew up an entire new generation of journalists that have become causal journalists. They don't look at the facts neutrally and try to give a factual presentation to the American public. They try to come up with a story and then fit the facts into it. You saw this from the podium every day at the White House. It is a phenomenon that deeply troubles me. I was attacked relentlessly, smeared. After a 30-year stellar career, having won almost every journalism award you could think of, I was smeared relentlessly for reporting on Hunter Biden and Burisma. Every fact that I reported not only has stood the test of time, it's been confirmed by lawsuits and revelations and the information on this. The American media
Not one question. John, there was a White House briefing today. There was a White House briefing. Not only that, the president himself spoke to reporters. Not one reporter asked a single question. This is incredible. What a dereliction of duty.
That's why the American people hold the news media today in such low regard, below Congress, below many other institutions. My profession has earned that distinction by picking sides, by being dishonest, by not correcting the record, by not being neutral. Listen, if this was Donald Trump's kids and I had the same laptop, I'd be writing the same story tonight. It doesn't matter who it is. It matters if they're in power, and it's our job to check people in power. But a large part of my profession have given up at least half of that that checking power by not looking at liberals and Democrats and giving them a pass.
Wow. Well, John Paulin, thank you for exposing this. We got to keep exposing it. Hopefully people will start paying.
Well, there you go. And by the way, that was Spicer. You probably recognize his voice, his high voice. And he's on Newsmax now, doing a fine job. Anyway, you know, I feel sorry for, I don't like seeing pictures of Hunter when he's high, you know. I just don't like that. I do feel sorry for him that way.
But, well, Donnie, you know,
when you put M&Ms, you're putting M&Ms on your private area and taking pictures, there's something going on in your brain. There's something wrong with that.
That's why in this instance, I'm agreeing with you with regards to feeling sorry for one of the Bidens, you know, Joe Biden. You feel sorry for Joe. I don't. But Hunter Biden, he's been the result of being under the thumb of his father all these years, and his father's a pedophile. So, imagine the trauma that this poor kid was under.
I don't know if he's a pedophile or not.
Yeah. I say he is because his diary from his daughter... or his niece.
Please put all emails to Joe, and I'll make sure he gets them.
Yeah, just give it to me. All right, let me make it even more sanitary. Alleged pedophile.
Thank you. It might save our show there.
I should have said it at the beginning. But an alleged pedophile, because the diary of either his niece or his daughter clearly states that he took showers with either the daughter or the niece. Now, it doesn't follow up with whatever else happened, but that by itself is bad enough.
Okay, what about him, you know, in whatever, congressional or whatever, touchy-feely with those little girls, pinching them where they shouldn't be pinching them, whispering in their ears and making up. And even
right.
Little girls cringing away from him.
Yeah, that's creepy. No doubt about it. That's creepy.
And the parents that turn around and decking him.
Jeff Sessions had his little granddaughter in front of him, and Joe Biden was coming, you know, and bent down and had his hands out. I knew Sessions slapped his hands a few times. You're not touching my granddaughter.
Yeah,
I've seen that.
Not only does he have the cunionies to do that, but does anybody remember the little video that was taken a long, long time ago when he and Hillary were right in front of a plane? I think she was about to... and he's got his hands around her waist.
And she can't get away. Yeah, I know. I was waiting for him to start humping her.
she was a grown woman. That's a grown woman.
Oh, I know.
Okay, we're talking about these children. Oh.
Well, they're still,
protect these children.
Well, I agree. I agree, but there's just no proof that he's creepy.
There's video proof.
Oh, he's just nipping them. And it's, he, to me, is inappropriately touching these girls. I agree, but not to the point that I think you can call him a pedophile yet.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
You know, his family should be horsewhipped for even letting him go out and make a fool out of himself.
It could be this way. If you question that now, and that interview that Demond Wilson was, that they interviewed him, he mentioned the fact that he owned that island that was next to what's that island?
Epstein.
He owned that. The
Lolita Island.
Yeah. Yeah, he does own that. You told me he owned that island next to Epstein's island. So, damn, how can these people be a public servant and own all this damn land? By the way, just 2 weeks ago, over another little deal, Mr. Pelosi made $5.2 million in a stock deal. They did ask Nancy about it, and she said, "I have nothing to do with any of his whatever he does."
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump back to Biden and pedophilia. If he is so brazen and bold to do that in front of cameras to little girls, imagine what he does in private. It's worse.
I don't know what to say about that, but I would never have a little girl by him or his son. Period.
No,
and there is a picture of him naked, and she looks very, very young. That's standing behind, off to the side behind him. And
is this Hunter or Joe?
This is Hunter.
This is Hunter, okay.
Yeah, and stuff came out right away. Pretty fast, and it disappeared. You had to get, see them. When you seen them, they were gone. I mean, they were just gone. And the one that he was, he had a straw, and he had sniffing something off a girl's butt, maybe cocaine or something, I don't know. That was also in that batch that I seen. There's just a lot of, and I feel sorry for him because he was a stone addict, and he gave his prostitutes $25,000. He was a mess.
Mm.
He was a mess. And now, maybe.
Well, I kind of feel sorry for him because he was growing up in that environment.
Right.
So as a kid, he couldn't really fight back. And this is part of the trauma that he's undergoing. But it doesn't really excuse it in terms of, I don't know, maybe if he went to court, there might be exigent circumstances that might get him off. But let's say they weren't. I do feel sorry for him up to a point.
Yeah, I got you. I understand. Yeah.
He's so responsible for his choices.
I feel sorry for him if he was repentant, but he isn't. So
no,
I don't feel sorry.
No, he isn't. You're right about that.
He can't be repentant, Sarge, because for him to be repentant, he would have to admit that he did it.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't feel sorry for him.
Mm-hmm. I feel the way about his daddy. About, what did he call him? The big fella?
The big guy.
The big guy.
That's what he called him.
Make sure the big guy gets, they had that Bobulinski or whatever. I don't know his name. He was on
Tony Bobulinski. Tony Bobulinski.
Yeah, Bobulinski. And he laid it all out, and boy, he's a liar, he's a liar. Well, it came out that he wasn't lying at all.
Not a bit.
Not one bit. And he got the hell out of there.
See, it's like I said, we literally have a situation these days where one side of the argument simply ignores what they don't want to deal with. They just ignore it, and they're allowed to get away with it. There is a dual system of justice. There is a dual system of accountability, and it only goes one way. Is that clear? It's clear as a bell. That's what's going on.
That's right.
And don't forget, there are, we got Republicans that are this as nasty as any or Democrat.
There you go.
Do we ever? I mean, what's her name? Cheney, Liz Cheney.
Oh,
look
dear.
At that DCA fool.
Oh, Jesus. Oh.
Yeah, take Mitt Romney with her.
Yeah, same thing.
Talk about her lineage. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and Lindsey Graham, take him the hell out of there, too.
Oh, him. Oh, Jesus, you talk about a con man. Oof.
Boy,
man, we are living in, as the Chinese say, we are living in the most interesting of times.
Yes, we are. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
You mean flimsy scam,
right? You know the worst thing they're doing to this country right now? This is the worst thing they're doing. The most dangerous thing they're doing in the country, and that is this. What they're doing to the armed forces is the worst and most dangerous thing of all.
Yeah.
Before you
Not
continue.
Only for politicizing it, but weakening it in its ability to defend the national security interests of the United States. It is beyond belief what they have done to the United States Armed Forces in such a relatively short span of time. I literally do not recognize it as the institution that I once served proudly in. I just don't.
Before you continue on, Sarge, John, you wanted to come in?
John Doe.
John.
Oh, I thought you said Dawn. No, I was just saying you meant flimsy scam, right? You know, Senator Flimsy Scam?
Oh, yeah.
Flimsy Scam.
I got it. Exactly. By the way, Adrian is a veteran also of the Armed Forces.
Yeah.
Very proud.
What they're doing, I mean, I would not even I always thought the greatest single institution in the United States is the Armed Forces of the United States because it's the most important. Out of all of them, which are, there are many that are important, don't get me wrong, but there's nothing more important than the Armed Forces of the United States because it keeps the United States safe and secure from foreign invasion. And let's face it, the history of nations is literally the history of being conquered or conquering. Literally. And the only thing that prevents either or is your armed forces. Nothing else does, or at least the threat of it. And what they're doing now to the armed forces is simply beyond belief. War fighting is secondary to these other considerations. This Secretary of State ought to be hanged, drawn, and quartered.
Yeah.
This is disgrace what they're doing to the armed forces. I mean, I read this book by this guy, Matthew Loheimer, Irresistible Revolution. I got it. I ordered it. This is the kind of officer the armed forces need to be keeping. He's smart. He's competent. He's well-written. He's well-educated. And he's talking about the influence of Marxism in the armed forces. He knows what he's talking about. He's a victim of it. And they're trying to purge this armed forces of officers like him. This reminds me of what happened to the Red Army in the Terror and the Great Purge before Operation Barbarossa came along and showed them that the army they created was a paper tiger that would be torn to pieces. And that's exactly what happened to the Red Army when the Nazis invaded them in Operation Barbarossa. All those things they'd done to the army, the purges, the ideological commitments, the appointing incompetent officers to critical leadership positions, it was all laid bare by the German invasion and their annihilation, not just of Russian armies, but Russian army groups. It was beyond belief what the way they cut through the Red Army. And most of it was self-inflicted.
Hey, Sarge.
Yeah.
Did you say the officer's name in the book?
Yeah, Loheimer, Matthew Loheimer, L-O-H-M-E-I-E-R, I think.
Yeah,
but his name
right.
is Law. He was a commander in the Space Force, and he wrote a book, which he said was his own personal opinion. He said it does not reflect the opinions of the Department of Defense or the Pentagon, and they cashiered him because he wrote it. And he literally, I got the book. He's telling the truth about what they're doing to the armed forces.
Yeah, that's irresistible revolution, right?
Yeah, irresistible revolution.
Yeah, I just didn't hear
every,
it.
Every American ought to read it.
I wanted to make sure we all knew what it was.
Every American ought to read this book. It is dismaying.
Yeah, it's what they're doing. And what they're, by the way, and we haven't touched on it. They're talking about shutting this country down again because of the second surge of COVID-19. What is it, Delta? I think they're calling
it. Delta variant.
Delta variant, yeah.
And in L.A. County, the sheriff said he's not going to enforce the law. Now they came out, if you're inside a building, you have to wear a mask. Well, he said he's not going to enforce that law. He said he's cut to the bone. His finances are cut to the bone. He can't do that.
Good for him.
Yeah, definitely. Sheriff's got all the power. People ought to realize that.
Yeah, as the chief elected law enforcement officer in the county.
Yep. Tell the FBI to go to hell.
He's a constitutional officer. He's elected. He's there by the authority of the Constitution of the state that he's elected in. And he don't have to answer to nobody but the voters every election cycle.
You're right.
Of course, and the state constitution. Let me make that correct. So whatever the state constitution says he's got to answer to, he's got to answer to.
Right.
But basically, he's only got to answer to the electorate. He's accountable to the people that elected him.
Yeah, sheriff has got a lot of power. A lot of power.
And I wish more of them would assert it, particularly when it comes to gun control.
Oh, yeah. Yep. There's a few, in California, there's a few sheriffs that came out and said they're not going to enforce any of that nonsense.
Well, they shouldn't. They literally are making a big deal out of the very items that are literally play a negligible role in homicide, and they're putting this undue, inordinate emphasis upon instruments that literally play almost no part in the staggering rates of homicide and violence because they're crazy and they're anti-constitutional, and they know that these types of firearms in the hands of patriots represent a grave threat to these tyrants. That's the real threat, the threat that these types of firearms they want to ban pose to the tyrants that want to ban them.
Absolutely. I wish that more sheriffs would enforce the repercussions towards businesses that say no more to masks and no more to lockdowns.
Amen. It would be nice because, they don't have enough jails to put us all in jail. They just don't. I didn't think the American people would sit still to the extent they have for this utterly unwarranted public act. These have to be the worst public policies ever enacted in response to a health emergency. I can't think of any worse. They have never in the history of the United States, in any epidemic, no matter how virulent, ever locked down or quarantined healthy segments of the population.
I'm about to say healthy.
Shut down entire sectors of businesses. Mm-hmm. Never. They did it this time, though, because it gave them an opportunity for a great reset.
That's right. That was their agenda. The great reset.
Healthy
and
people. You quarantine healthy people who are asymptomatic. This has never been done before.
Well, don't forget, Sarge, your excuse for that is if Fauci said if you're asymptomatic doesn't mean that you can't spread it.
Okay. Yeah, and despite that, we never did it before in any other epidemic.
There you go.
They relied on herd immunity to a great extent as well.
And
Now,
another thing
happened
about the Republicans, when Jim Jordan had Fauci under his thumb, when he was grilling him in the investigation, the congressional at the hearing, and he asked Fauci, what is the metric for herd immunity? What is the metric to really feel that the pandemic has turned? He asked him that. Then Fauci said he's not really concerned about the political aspects, but rather the medical aspects, and Jordan did not follow up on the next logical question. That is allowing the Democrats or anybody else to pursue their agenda with the complicit agreement with the Republicans. I don't care if Jim Jordan is a member of the Freedom Caucus. He let me down at that particular time.
Yeah, they ought to be calling for Dr. Fauci's head. They ought to be calling for a grand jury investigation into Dr. Fauci. That's what they really ought to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, as a part of your pursuit of happiness,
certainly they haven't investigated. Because, I mean, this guy has clearly lied under oath to Congress. He clearly enabled the funding of the Wuhan Institute with regard to gain-of-function research. Clearly. And he lied about it to Congress under oath.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be under oath if you mislead Congress about things like that anyway.
But, Sarge, regardless, nowhere on earth does it tell you in your pursuit of happiness and your unalienable rights that you have to accept any science. You can be the total idiot on the world planet if you want to under a constitution and a Declaration of Independence that makes you the sole arbiter of your burdens and encumbrances.
Agreed. Agreed. Although I will say that there is precedent that has been allowed by the courts, whether they should or shouldn't, there is precedent for public health emergencies. But I've never seen one where healthy people were quarantined, ever. I'm trying to think of one.
None that I know either.
Look at COVID.daystar.com. It's COVID.daystar, DAYSTAR.com. There's a whole lot of doctors and people that used to work for Pfizer and AstraZeneca and different labs. It's got 20, 30 years of experience, and they're telling you this stuff is epigenetics. It's just editing, and they never took the precautious, predicated processes that they needed to in order to make sure that this thing was all legit. They're skipping steps and whatnot, and therefore the forensic testing or investigation of the science that was behind it is not there.
I went there, John, based upon your recommendation. I also went to the vaccine.daystar.com, both interesting sites.
No doubt, worst public health policy in the history of the United States, if not the world. Actually, given the fact this is worldwide, it is the worst public health policy in the history of the world.
That cannot be disputed, because this is global, and I haven't seen the evidence, but I heard about the evidence that linked not only Fauci, but Gates to the Wuhan lab as well.
Yeah.
And that gain of function.
Yeah. We are looking at this is all part of the Great Reset. George Floyd, the riots, critical race theory, critical theory, environmentalism, global climate change, all of it is all part of a piece, all of it is. It's all intended to a fundamental restructuring of everything. And they're all just tools in their tool belt, each one of them.
You're being benign there, Sarge, it's a restructuring. It's all about annihilation in my view, even though Alex Jones, as Don and I have discussed along with the other members of the panel from time to time, he does not put up on his website the documents that he says are the foundations for his particular beliefs. Nevertheless, when you take a look at what's happening in today's world, I happen to believe that the restructuring, it's not about restructuring.
I like your assessment a lot better.
It's all about dropping
dead. I'd really rather call it a transmogrification.
Well, yeah, because you can take that and lead it into anywhere, and I would think both you and I and everybody else would agree. To the anywhere, the sign up at the signpost up ahead is danger, danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah, man. Now you're understating.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, man, we are in literally unprecedented times. I mean, I've never seen such a denial of reason in my life. It's hysteria. It's hysteria. And I would go a little bit farther and say something, but that might be going a step too far, so I'm going to hold my tongue.
No. While you're thinking about whether or not you want to express that, never underestimate the power of propaganda and, as a result, the hypnosis and the hold that it has on people. I don't blame people, and I've had this on my show, and Don allowed me to host the show. I've led off with saying that the American people are stupid, and I didn't mean that in a demeaning way. I meant that in a way.
All right, well, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to go ahead and risk the condemnation and wrath that surely will ensue in the wake of my comments, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. Now, once upon a time, this kind of hysteria.
Sarge, can you wait a second? Thank you.
Go ahead.
You got me in the middle of my monologue.
Oh, I thought you were finished there. Okay,
no,
go
no.
ahead.
Yeah, well, he takes a long breath there.
Good. I'm going to take a little bit longer now. Thank you.
Of course you are. Go for it.
I forgot now. Jesus, I forgot. Like Jeannie says, I lost my choo-choo. Thanks, Sarge.
You're welcome.
And yeah, thank you, Sarge. I appreciate that. So does the panel.
Oh, you.
Shall I go, or are you
going
to wait
ahead,
to retain your train of thought?
I won't get it back until you probably start.
Say what?
I probably won't get it back until you start.
Okay, well, anyway. Okay, once upon a time, this sort of hysteria could be attributed in large part to superstition, religious dogma, and the like. I mean, after all, you know, people didn't understand the mechanisms behind certain natural phenomena, and they were subject to conflate it with religious belief and
volcano gods and the like. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, you kind of understand the basis for a lot of hysteria. But I think a new element has been added, which I think is often underreported because of politically correct motivations. And that is, I believe, to a great degree, the feminization of the civilization, particularly by fanatical feminists, not all of whom are women. Let me get that straight. Not all of them are women. But
that's
I noticed
right.
The most fanatical people in American political life today seem to be women. Seem to be.
I can't disagree with you with the Me Too movement and every, you know, and they're pointing the bony fingers of recrimination at man and saying the patriarchal society is keeping me down. And there was, of course, the webinar or the seminar.
Well, you got three or four ladies on this show that never.
But don't you remember that the selling point for more women in American political life was that they were more reasonable than men, they were more dispassionate, they were more amenable to compromise. And all of that. That's what we were told over and over and over and over and over and over again. I remember the year of the women when Carol Moseley Braun got the Senate in Illinois. I remember when Anita Hill was going up there before the House. I remember being told constantly that the reason we need more women in American political life is because they are more reasonable, more subject to compromise, and they will be better because they're more moderate. And I'm telling you right now, the ones I see, and they're all leftists, they're the most fanatical, crazy, irrational, and hysterical bunch I've ever seen. Crazy woman Joyce Bryan? They just arrested trying to storm the Capitol building by herself? Who does this?
I'm staying out.
I want to know.
I'm with these nuts.
I'm on my
what
phone.
I want to know.
Why is like this?
Thank what you. I want to know when I get a chance to kick ass.
Brother, follow up. I dare you to follow up with anything comparable to what I just said.
Sorry. I ain't on my third marriage. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Thank you very much.
There you go. Hey, but I'm prepared to back up what I say. Like I said, all I got to do is start giving your name.
Sarge. Kathy wants to get in there.
Sarge, I 110% agree with you about women.
Thank you, madam.
If there is a fight out there, you can just rest assured there is going to be a woman involved in it somehow. Somehow. Even if it's among men, there's going to be a woman in there that caused it. I mean, that's what I've seen.
But look at what we're witnessing in public life. Look, the pronouncement that many of these so-called political leaders are making and their actions. You had another lunatic in Georgia here who, when they were trying to, when the governor passed the election bill in Georgia, has got all these leftists so upset, she goes up to the governor's door and starts pounding on his door. What happened during the Kavanaugh hearing? You had a bunch of lunatic leftist, gender-determinate feminists banging on the doors and screaming and going hysterical. You got that nut Gretchen Whitmer out there in Michigan. You got the squad. Mm. I've never seen more crazy women in America. Again, they're all leftists and Democrats, by the way, all of them. Even Liz Cheney, as bad as she is, doesn't come across as being hysterical. She may be a traitor and a backstabber and no good, but she's not hysterical. She doesn't come across as demented. These people I'm talking about come across as literally lunatics.
I agree.
I ain't touching that. Honey, notice I'm not saying nothing. Honey.
I mean, I'm
wrong. You want me to give you some names?
Is cinnamon around?
I'm about to start naming people.
Well, you know what the bottom line of that is that all of these groups and stuff, the common threads they have is that they're all funded by Soros. You know, all this stuff, you know, you know, Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all that crap and stuff. All these groups are funded by Soros.
Hey, need I say anything? Lori Lightfoot, need I say anything more?
Yeah.
Piece of work.
Muriel Bowser in D.C. She's not as bad as Lori Lightfoot, but it's only a notch or two difference. Stephanie Rawlings Blake in Baltimore. Keisha Lance Bottoms in Atlanta. I mean, where do we get these people?
I'm trying
to. You know, that the old school feminists, you know, at least supposedly wanted equality and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know. And they were radical for their time, but they are nothing like what these ones are.
You're right about that, Critic. The feminine mistake.
The feminine mistake was written by
I forgot her name.
Yeah, like Phyllis Schlafly.
Look at Christy Noem. Look at Marsha Blackburn. Look at Carol McSwain. Look at I can name a whole host of women who are on our side that are rational, reasonable, and sensible. It's these leftist women. They're crazy.
There's also a woman to say on your side. There's also a woman who had written not too long ago a book about why men don't want to get married today. And that would buttress your argument too, Sarge. I remembered what my choo-choo was. And it was about never underestimate the power of propaganda as issued by the state-run media machine and academia, which has been taken over by the communists. So that's why I don't blame people for being stupid, because they were brainwashed very effectively to remain inside the matrix and not even know it.
Well, look here, Joe. We all know nobody argues with this. If I say this, we know this to be true. And I know it to be true, and I'm not going to meaningfully argue with you. When it comes to the inflicting, accepting violence, men are the ones who do it. Now, that's not even arguable. We know we have this tendency to violence that is overwhelmingly male. It's not even disputable. And I accept it because it's true. not a lie.
I wouldn't say that.
And on the other hand, I think there's a tendency to hysteria that is essentially female. Just like the tendency to violence is inherently male. And when you couple that tendency to hysteria with leftist politics and radicalism, you get what we're looking at today.
Well, you know, Sarge, I'd go a little bit further about that. I don't think that the violence is just contained to men anymore with some of these women the way that they act.
There's no comparison between the violence that men inflict on women. I mean, it's just overlook. I was a police officer 26 years. I know what women are capable of. I've seen what they can do, and it can be pretty bad. But when you talk about percentages, it's like well over 93% to less.
In what
with
crime?
Men. Men are the perpetrators of violence, hands down.
What crime?
Hands down.
Sorry. What crime?
So, you know, I mean, I accept it. I don't mind anybody saying it, but it's true. I think we should also not be afraid to say hysteria seems to be the province of women.
If you're going to say overall 93%, I guess I can agree with you. But now the statistics have been borne out that 40%, official statistics, of the domestic violence initiation.
Oh, yeah, that's different. Yeah, I agree with you there.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, in that realm, yes. But it doesn't necessarily result in death or serious physical bodily harm, even though there may be a violent incident that requires police intervention. I'm talking about the kind of violence that results in injury and or death.
Okay, all right.
That's why I'm talking about the kind of violence that results in injury and or death. That sort of violence is overwhelmingly male.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about stuff like, you know, serial killers and things like that,
we don't mind saying it because everybody knows it's true. But see, we got this inhibition to say anything bad about women because we know the history of women in the so-called patriarchy, which, by the way, I believe is universal for the reason it comports with human nature, which is why it's so universal almost everywhere in almost every civilization society for millennia now. But still, we understand women have been abused by the patriarchy and all that, so we're afraid to tell obvious truths about things simply because there have been atrocities and wrongs in the past. So we're not able to properly balance these things out by correct analysis because we're inhibited by this boogaboo called political correctness.
Okay, guys, hold on just a second before you go any further. You know, we think on this show anyway, we think, and I'm sure every show, every child has a right to a great education, and this is Black Conservative Perspective. I got this. He sent this, and
all right, guys. So I ran across this very, very, very sad story about.
And this is Greg Foreman, by the way.
How our public school system is failing our kids, okay, particularly those in the inner city. As Baltimore City Schools has released some information about their school performance, and it's not good. It's not good at all. 41% of kids that attend Baltimore City Public Schools, the high schools, have a GPA of less than one. Okay, less than one. They're basically failing almost half. Okay, almost half. And guys, if this is not an indictment on the public school system and how poorly run and mismanaged these funds, these billions of dollars that are being spent on these school systems are, I don't know what to tell you. But before I get into this, let's take a look at the news coverage of what's going on in Baltimore in terms of their failing school system.
Baltimore City Schools reaches an alarming low in student performance.
As Project Baltimore's Chris Papp has learned, nearly half of high school students in Baltimore City this year earned a grade point average below a one.
They take.
When Giovanni Patterson ran for Baltimore City Council president last year.
Yet, despite the amount of money they get, we don't see much change.
He ran on a platform that included accountability in education.
Our schools outspend 97% of other major school districts.
And when Project Baltimore showed him how Baltimore City students have been doing this year.
This is terrible.
Here is how he reacted.
This is just further perpetuating the cycle of poverty, blight,
despair.
This chart was assembled by Baltimore City Schools and obtained by Project Baltimore. It shows the average GPA for every high school grade in the city, freshman through senior. In the first three quarters of this past school year, according to the chart, 41% of all Baltimore City high school students earned below a 1.0 grade point average. In other words, nearly half of the roughly 20,600 public high school students in Baltimore earned less than a D average.
It's heartbreaking. If almost half of our kids are failing, what options do they have after high school? This is really disheartening. It's sad to see this, man.
On the other end of this chart, 21% of city high school students earned a GPA of 3.0 or better, a B average, about half as many who earned below a D. We can also see the district lost more than 700 high school students during the first three quarters of this year.
In January, City School CEO Dr. Sonia Santelises first sounded the alarm, saying the course failure rate for students had nearly doubled during the COVID shutdowns. A few months later, in May, North Avenue announced students would not be held back for failing classes. This most recent GPA data could show us why North Avenue made that decision.
During the second quarter of the 2019-2020 school year, just before COVID hit, 24% of high school students had a GPA below 1. Now, it's 41%.
Okay, Greg, I can't play all this, but I get the gist, and it's not just Baltimore. Schools and parents are failing the kids. And by the way, Baltimore gets $1.4 billion a year. And you can't tell it from their school.
And that's a very sad part of America, because these kids are our future. And if they don't know, if they think that, for example, 2 plus 2 equals 5, or they're victims of the core, common core curriculum, where are we? Where are we headed?
Sad. I don't like seeing that. But I imagine that's every big city, you know.
Sure.
They put the money in certain schools. And I like to know where the B average kids are. They didn't say.
Well, they're nice to monitor, to monitor the kids who are below the 1 and those who have the 3 and see where they end up about 10 years from now.
They're not going to end up in too good of spots, Joe. And that's them Democratic strongholds, teacher union control facilities.
Now, I love union, but I tell you what, the teachers union has done these kids a disjustice. I mean, they really screwed these kids over in the last 2 years. You know, the suicide rate is just quadrupled.
Has it quadrupled? I know it increased. Has it gone up that much?
Wow. Yeah, that was on Fox Business. They were talking about it.
Wow. That is sad. Ooh. Quadruple. 4 times than they, what ordinarily was. Ah.
Yeah, it's, you can't do anything. Kids aren't built to stay in a house and
no, they have to go out. They have to get fresh air. They have to interact with other. They have to meet other kids in the playground. They have to have fights. They have to be in the fall from the monkey bars. They have to play dodgeball, even though in some school districts they disallowed that.
No monkey bars and no dodgeball. Thank you very much.
Can you imagine that?
No, I can't. But this new rules. The new rule. So
I can see the monkey bars, but I liked dodgeball when I was playing it.
Oh, yeah, I did too, but we can't do that anymore.
No, can't hurt the little dolls but you can let them crawl all over a drag queen.
Well, they're too busy reading stories in the library.
Yeah.
Their legs spread.
Yeah.
No, I'll rest my case.
Oh, man.
I hate seeing kids being wasted. That just pisses me off.
When I go to the park and I see the kids with their parents and they're so happy and they're frolicking and they're running around like wild little animals, I go, good.
Yeah, they'll sleep good tonight. That's I can remember what I said.
I told you a friend of mine was at the art museum there in St. Louis with his daughter, and he came out and looked over at the statue of St. Louis, and there was Giuliani.
Giuliani?
Yeah, he was in the St. Louis area to support Eric Greitens' run for Senate.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll be damned.
Kevin asked him, "Ain't you Rudy Giuliani?" He said, "I used to be."
Bianchi, I know you're big on public education, and there was a man who analyzed public education, and particularly the failings of black children and the accomplishments of black children in public education. No man analyzed it better than Thomas Sowell. And he talks about Lawrence Dunbar School in Washington, D.C., and fact that should be the model for educating black children, because they didn't cherry-pick the students. They were ordinary students from ordinary backgrounds of the general population in the area, and they accomplished miracles of scholarship with these people to where they were even outscoring all of the high schools around them in the area, the white high schools. They were doing better academically and in every way. And this was in the 1950s. He does a great study on this, and everybody should look at what he discovered when he studied the issue.
Well, in the 1950s, and it goes for white families too, the families stayed together. They stayed together. They didn't split up, and you give the same opportunity to a black child that you do a white child. You bet they're gonna perform great. But now, and that goes for white kids and Hispanics. When the daddy leaves or mom leaves, the kids really go to pot.
Well, of course, the family is perhaps of prime importance, so there's no doubt about that.
I would
that.
Say that.
But mm-hmm. what Thomas Sowell did was to analyze the method of teaching mm-hmm. in those schools and the requirements for discipline and academic rigor in the school. And he points out that by sticking to time-tested methods of scholarship, the Aristotelian method of instruction and teaching, he was able to yield results that would credit any public school system in the nation. Paul Lawrence Dunbar was a shining example of the way in which black students could be educated, along with Marva Collins in Chicago.
Oh, Marva Collins was amazing. When it comes to Dunbar, wasn't that the number one school at one time in the nation?
Yes, let me tell you. In 1899, there were four academic public schools in Washington, D.C. There was one black and three or more white. In standardized tests given that year, 1899 now, during the height of Jim Crow, students in the black high school averaged higher test scores than students in two of the three white high schools. Today, more than a century later, it would be utopian even to set that as a goal, much less to expect it to actually happen. But what happened in 1899 was not an isolated fluke. That same school reportedly equal or exceeded national norms on standardized tests in the 1930s, 1940s, and early 1950s. Back in the 1890s, it was called the M Street School, and in 1916, it was renamed Dunbar High School. So, we've got this recorded. We know what works. What happened was the teachers' unions, leftist politics, and Democrats taking over these damn school systems. And that ruined it for black students.
What is it that you What is it that you think that they did that made the school system so bad?
Well, you look at what the teacher union is doing today. It's the logical outgrowth of what the teachers union literally became something more interested in aggrandizing and emphasizing the position of the teachers as opposed to the students. It literally corrupted the whole school, the manner in which the teachers' unions was taken over by progressive educators. And what they have done in these inner cities where they hold sway is to ruin the educational possibilities of many, if not most, of the black children that are in there.
Well, I think everybody knows when you take a look at the Baltimore district, for example, about how dismal it is. But what I'm asking is, what kind of policies do you think that they implemented that took the a good school and made it a lousy school?
Well, they got rid of the tried and true educational standards that have worked for millennia. Like I said, the Aristotelian message, question, response, the Socrates, you know, the
Socratic
method
right.
Socrates,
right.
Essay questions, everything's not multiple choice, emphasizing language skills, discipline. All of these things have been weakened in public schools, particularly in the inner city.
Okay, because I asked because in the dumbing down of America, I didn't see anything specifically about what she was talking about that made the school districts very poor.
Well,
so.
Pianchi's been trying to get in. Maybe he's got.
Sorry, Pianchi.
On this, Pianchi.
Well, it's a lot of reasons why I come in with nothing going on. One reason, it all goes back to the parents and the community. If they're not doing, they seemingly don't care. And they turn those children over to whatever exists. That's what's going on. And then I really think, Sarge, that you have probably got the best that you're going to get out of these young people under the present circumstances. I'm afraid
you're right. Because we're not going to go back to those methods that will work for Dunbar School. We're just not going to do it. We're going to be told that to go back to them is racist or something. To have that kind of expectations that work so well for Dunbar School today will be called racist, colonialist, or white supremacist, or all three.
Well, you shouldn't do it, Sarge, because don't you know that 2 + 2 equaling 4 and A squared plus B squared equaling C squared are all racist.
I hate to admit it, man, but this is what we're up against. This is what we're up against now.
Yeah.
There's a complete lack of reason throughout this society. A complete lack of linear reasoning. Linear reasoning itself is considered racist. A follows B, follows C, follows D.
Mm-hmm.
That's considered to be racist.
I got another short tape, guys. I don't know. Is that you, Critic, trying to get in?
What?
I thought I was. Were you trying to get in?
Yeah, Don was asking if you were trying to get in.
Well, I'll say something real quick. No, I actually wasn't trying to
get in, but
another thing, if you remember back in the 70s and stuff, when all that, when the busing and stuff started, well, kids were being bused out of their neighborhoods and stuff and out of their environment, that as far as learning and stuff was concerned, and then they were, you know, talking about, well, the black kids couldn't keep up with the white kids and all that kind of stuff.
You sound kind of extra tired today, Critic. How you doing?
Huh?
You sound kind of extra tired today. How you doing?
No, I'm not.
Not all the nonsense. That's what it is. Everybody should be exhausted by now.
Yeah, that's true. This is a door-to-door vaccine. We haven't even touched on that yet, guys. This is happening right now.
And the door-to-door push for vaccines.
Don't get me started on that shit.
And here's what it looks like. We're going to show you some video in a moment. Before I do, if you're new here, hit the red button down below to subscribe, then tap that notification bell when you do. Let's head on over to the Western Journal, where Taylor Penley reports that the door-to-doors program is underway, started in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, and is turning a meddlesome idea into reality. Earlier this month, the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki and Joe Biden touched on the idea of door-to-door COVID vaccine promotion. The idea sparked intense controversy, posed numerous questions about the Biden administration's apparently draconian attempt to force vaccinations on the people, and called us to consider what this door-to-door push might look like. It raises the question, what will they do when they come to your door? The push underway in North Carolina looks different from what many of us imagined before. These door-to-door activists aren't federal government employees, but are rather nonprofit volunteers. According to Charlotte's WBTV, nonprofit organizations like Action North Carolina had already taken door-to-door vaccine promotion into their own hands before the idea received national attention. But there's a key difference between Action North Carolina's present and previous pushes. Now these volunteers have health department staff on standby, ready to offer the vaccine to residents inside their own homes.
Offer.
The program specifically targets what they're calling priority zip codes that have low percentages of vaccinated residents. It began Monday at a Charlotte apartment complex called Southside Homes. Take a look.
It got a lot easier. Health department workers were giving the shot on the spot. WCNC Charlotte's Chloe Leshner is live in West Charlotte. Chloe, does this canvassing work?
Fred, the county thinks it does, which is why they are expanding this program. Action NC has knocked on 35,000 doors since May, and up until today, their only goal was to listen and dispel false information. But a lot of times, they are able to encourage people to get vaccinated, so now they can guarantee that it gets done.
We reminded folks about the COVID-19 vaccination. So you need to get yours too now, right?
It's public health at work, community outreach groups going door to door.
Have you had yours yet?
To have personal conversations about the COVID vaccine.
We get people that will say, yes, I'll get the shot, but the follow-up has always been the issue. Will they go? You know, how can we get people to go out and go?
Now the health department is close by, so they can offer the shots on demand.
Now that the health department is actually coming out with us, we missed that middle step now. So now would you like to get a shot? Yes. We've got somebody right here on site.
In the first few hours of the new Doses to Doors program, four people in this West Charlotte neighborhood decided to get the shot right on their front porch.
Wow, right on their front porch. Knocking on doors. Do you get your vaccine yet? So there are some people who do wish to be vaccinated and haven't had the opportunity yet. But it's safe to say that most people who wish to be vaccinated have already gotten the jab. Otherwise, people want to go about their lives without being reminded of the vaccine at every turn. Still,
right. If you can go door-to-door doing that, why can't they go door-to-door? Well, there is a machine that will make an ID for you. They're doing it in rural North Dakota, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's not about the mechanisms, it's about the agenda.
Yeah, that takes their complaint away.
Mm-hmm. The thing is,
it just upsets a lot of people that I talk to that say they think we're ignorant. They think us black people are stupid, we don't have a brain. And we don't know how to get an ID.
It's not about the mechanism. Any particular political group, if they want to fund something, they will. The thing is, it's about the agenda. The agenda now, and I don't even really want to get started. It's not about finding out if you've been vaxxed or offering it. It's about eventually grabbing you from your home if you haven't been vaxxed.
Or keeping you from doing what you want to do.
Right, or keeping you inside the home by canceling your debit or credit cards with the digital currency and keeping you isolated there.
There was a rock and roll band. I can't even remember the name
Foo
of
Foo.
Them. Who?
Foo-Foo?
Foo, yeah, Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters.
Yeah, I think that's the name of them. Anyway, they were doing a concert, but you couldn't get in unless you had your shot. So you had to prove that you had your shot. Well, two of the members of the band came down with COVID-19, so they had to cancel the deal. I guess they didn't get their shots.
Well, even there were people who've gotten their shots, and
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. You know, don't push people and take their rights away because they're not doing. This is crazy. But
again,
I'm afraid that's
never,
exactly what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Never
and
underestimate the power of propaganda. What?
Biden's not going to have nothing to do with this. If it's other folks, it's going to, you know who's pushing this crap. It's not Biden.
Biden doesn't even remember his name. The thing is that people, I think in England, something like 51% of the people surveyed said that even if the mandates were lifted, they would still want to wear masks. Can you believe the power of propaganda?
No. I still see people, you see these news clips I get with people driving in their car by themselves with a mask on. It just makes no sense to me, but hey, to each their own.
What about the guy that went swimming with the mask on? You have a picture of him underwater. I don't know if it was a stunt or not, but Jesus Christ.
Neither.
Hey, guys.
Hey, John.
Yeah, some of us dressed up like bank robbers. Come on.
Hold on. You're breaking up now.
Yeah, John.
What's going on with our phone system?
Can you hear me?
No. I can.
You're not. No.
Sounds like you're underwater.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh,
well,
now there you are. Now you're good.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Apparently the charge of the signal is going bad or something on that other device. But I was saying, hey, guys, be careful. Some of us like to dress up like bank robbers.
not even on Halloween, right, John?
Everybody's dressed like a bank robber these days. They all wear masks.
Yeah,
every one of them, yeah.
It's just like everybody wearing the mask of, what's his name, Fox? What's that? You ever seen the movie V for Vendetta? The Guy Fox mask. It's like the same thing almost, you know. But I like that idea. I can dress up like a bank robber. But, as far as the school thing, back in the 60s and 70s, they used to teach you economics and civics and logic and just things that help make life make sense, and you understood how things work. But it was just fading out, so I didn't probably get as much of it as I should have. But I think that's part of why the educational system is screwed up too, and then as far as this vaccine coming door to door and stuff, don't we?
Is control.
Do what?
What was that?
I got one quick. Let me finish real quick. I just wanted to quickly have another sentence or two, and I'll be done. But as far as the vaccine stuff coming door to door and stuff, I thought we already had a discussion about informed consent, full disclosure, and then all the trials with the Nuremberg Code to help reinforce those perspectives. So bullying is back on the table. It's okay to bully your fellow man?
Well, the Nuremberg Code is going to be part of a lawsuit that either has been sent against the CDC or is in preparation to be CDC. Oh, by the way, Jeannie, are you there?
No, she's not.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, she dropped off a while back, yeah.
All right.
We haven't got the Chicago update from Bianchi, but Lightfoot was had a presser, and she was asked about a murder suspect that was let out of jail. He had 26 felony arrests and 7 convictions, and he is now under arrest. He's a murder suspect.
So what else is new?
You know, that actually goes to the judges and the prosecutor there, a thorough, utter incompetent named Kim Fox. She's a state's attorney. I used to work in Chicago. I was the Illinois State Policeman working in Chicago, in Cook County. I retired before she became state's attorney, but I'm familiar with lesser lethal versions of her from my time on that job, and now she's metastasized into the absolute worst public prosecutor I've ever seen or even heard of. I mean, they grant bail for people who are already out on bail for multiple felonies. When they go to court, they request they be let out on bail of the judge, and the stupid judge is planning.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they do. They do.
Bad for Illinois, Cook County, and Chicago right now, especially in Cook County and Chicago. It's beyond belief. I talk to my colleagues there in Chicago regularly. They can't believe what's become of that place now. They said, you better be glad you got out when you did, because what they're working through now is something that's right out of a Kafka-esque play.
Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for the police officer.
That's the transmogrification that you were talking about there, Sergeant.
You know, I'm looking at this U.S. soccer team, female, and only 2 stood for the national anthem. The rest of them is kneeling. White and 1 black girl. Now, here's the thing. Why don't they go kneel at this Baltimore school district and see what's up with that?
Right in front of the school building, huh?
Yeah, that one that put down the U.S., what was it? She demanded more money. She wanted to be paid like the men, and they won a gold a couple years ago. You remember that gal?
Oh, you're talking about the soccer team?
Yeah.
Megan Rapinoe? Yeah, even though the market doesn't support those kind of salaries for women, they just want it anyway. We want what we want because we want what we want.
Right. Well, she's doing a commercial now. She's got pink hair, and she's doing a Subway commercial.
Yeah, that's Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah. Boy, they were interviewing her. I wanted to slug her. I don't hit women.
But like I said, the market does not support. Look, there isn't a market for women's sports that support the kind of salaries that men get. The reason men get those kind of salaries is because the market supports it.
When I've had a discussion about it, I've said that they don't fill in the seats. Arnold Schwarzenegger can't act, but he gets $20 million a picture because he puts the fannies in the seats.
That's right.
Well, you got to remember one thing about male athletes. Not only can they do the job, they do it more spectacularly than women. Because men, in any sport involving strength, speed, and power, a man is always going to be the best. Always. Until we undergo some sort of massive evolutionary change 100 or 200,000 years hence.
So are you telling me, Sarge, that those transgenders who have won first place in track and field, that they should give back their medals?
What I'm saying is the transgenders who are dominating the women's sports world, many of them are barely competitive with their fellow men.
That is correct.
I mean, this is what's
That's
so
what
amazing
it is.
About these transgenders who are dominating the women's sports world are not even competitive. They're not even, most of them are not even in the top rankings.
That's right.
But they're dominating the women's sports.
Here's the thing.
I'll tell
the first
you everything
time,
you need to know.
The first
Serena
time you've
Williams
seen them
Venus Williams, Serena Williams and Venus Williams played the 202nd ranked man, who the morning he played both of them in back-to-back sets, went out and had beer and played a round of golf. Then he played the two top women tennis players in the world and beat both of them back-to-back in twin sets. And he was halfway tired and half drunk. He was ranked 202.
Well, I don't know. They might have been off their game.
Venus
Williams was on, I think, David Letterman. And she said, look, I don't want to try to play men again. I don't want to be embarrassed. I know I'm a good tennis player. I'm a great tennis player. But when it comes to playing top-ranked men, I'm not even in their league. I saw her say this.
She said,
I don't want to go out there and be embarrassed again.
Because we can't hit with the speed, we can't hit with the power,
and we can't move three fourths as fast as they can.
Well, that's true.
That was Serena Williams saying this. I saw her say it out of her own mouth.
So this came in
Now, I wonder what the so-called feminists think about all these transgenders up in women's sports and stuff. Where are they on that?
I don't know. I wish I knew. But Sarge and Pianki, who sent this? Scott sent this. It's a guy from Chicago sent this.
Justin Smollett spoke publicly for the first time in a while about his case.
He made some brief comments while walking into court today and maintained his innocence.
Elizabeth Matthews joins us now from Studio 32 with more. Elizabeth.
Donna Gray, this hearing took all day and was closed to the public, so little was revealed about what went on inside of the courtroom, and the judge did not make a ruling today. The actor did respond to a couple of questions before the hearing. The former Empire actor arriving at the Cook County Courthouse for his 10 a.m. hearing.
Justy, you still maintain your innocence?
Absolutely, always. How you doing, man?
Justy, what's going to be the outcome of this case?
It's a dog and pony show, brother.
Wednesday's hearing was not regarding the charges Jussie Smollett faces with that phony downtown Chicago attack, but whether or not one of his attorneys has a conflict of interest and if they should continue to represent the actor. Nenye Uche is being accused of talking to two key witnesses, the Osendero brothers, early on in the case about possible representation. Uche has denied the communication, and there are reports that there are no phone records of the conversations. Prosecutors say Abel and Ola Osendero were paid by Smollett in January of 2019 to carry out an attack that the actor claimed was a racist and homophobic hate crime. Neither Smollett nor his attorneys spoke after the day-long hearing Wednesday. Special Prosecutor Dan Webb also refused the request for comment. The brother's attorney did speak and says she believes Uche will be out and the judge's ruling will side with them.
I think it's going to be in our favor. I think that there will be a disqualification. I think enough evidence and proof was laid out today to support our position.
Smollett faces disorderly conduct charges pertaining to false police reports. He has pled not guilty. We should learn the judge's ruling about this attorney's status on August 2nd. Corinne Don.
Okay, there you go. Were you people?
Well, you know, I mean, this guy produced a firestorm of controversy, completely unnecessary racial division, all because he wanted to indict MAGA followers in order to get concessions from the producers of his TV show. I don't know how in the hell you managed to think up a scheme like that, but this clown literally did that. The evidence is clear. He ought to be indicted. Not only has he been indicted, but now he needs to be convicted, and they probably ought to charge him federally for something.
Yeah. You can't. That false police report and the manhunt, the hours that they put in trying to find this imaginary two white guys.
Yeah, with red MAGA hats.
Yeah, forget about that one. It was 12 below zero.
I used to go
to Chicago all the time. I love it. Lakeshore Holiday Inn is where I used to stay. And it was great. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah, I stayed in that Holiday Inn one time.
Did you?
Let me tell you something. Chicago's always had a lot of corruption. Chicago's always had Democrat machine politicians. But one thing about Democrats, as corrupt as they might have been, they were able to manage the city well. They didn't drive away business, and for the most part, they kept public order in the places where we're expected to see public order. Okay? Mm-hmm. The police did a damn good job of doing that. And the mayors of Chicago, up until, I'd say, Rahm Emanuel, maybe with Mayor Blandick or Jane Byrne, but even then, not so much, they allowed the police to do what they had to do to maintain that order. It broke down completely after that, completely. It went to its apogee now with this moron Lori Lightfoot as mayor.
Yeah, I tell you, it used to be a clean city. I used to go down Michigan Avenue and enjoy myself. The bars stayed open till 4 o'clock. I sat there and listened to an old guy play the piano. So 4 o'clock in the morning, walk back to my hotel, go to a ball game.
They called it the Magnificent Mile in Michigan Avenue, where some of the greatest shopping center in the world was. It was absolutely, you could literally walk any time of the day or night down a Magnificent Mile. You didn't have to worry about being mugged or assaulted. Now it's completely gone to hell. They literally cannot keep mobs from ransacking the Magnificent Mile. The police are hobbled, handicapped, and they're retiring at record rates.
Yeah, all over the country. All over the country.
Particularly in Chicago. Chicago is one of the worst cities for retirement out of a torrent of premature retirements.
Well, I think the top three is Chicago, San Francisco, and New York City. I believe that's what I read the other day.
I don't know for sure, but that sounds about right to me.
Yeah, that's terrible. What they did in San Francisco, man, it's just hard to believe. It's just really hard to believe.
Believe me, the Chicago police know how to keep order. They don't need to talk about we got to have the National Guard to patrol. Chicago police can get a handle on this if they let them do their damn jobs. And they back them up when they do the right thing, even if it's controversial. But they don't. They've given in to these Marxists, Black Lives Matter, and all the rest of these clowns, and they don't deserve the city that they've got. They don't deserve it.
They got to put these people in jail and keep them in jail instead of letting them out. And they just turn around and break the law again, and it's a revolving door. And it'd be hard to
guarantee you, the people that these serious crimes, they're recidivists. The police know who they are. They got a tool they can use called a Terry stop. It's a stop and frisk. It's called Terry versus Ohio, which is what the Supreme Court ruled is constitutional if it's done in a constitutional manner. All you got to do is let the police employ the tools that Supreme Court has said are constitutional to get these guys, because they know who they are for the most part, and they're not letting them do.
Is that what they had in New York City, like stopping?
Yeah, that's all over the country. Terry versus Ohio was a national ruling by the United States Supreme Court. It said that police officers, when conducting an investigative stop of a suspect in an area that is considered dangerous, high crime, and the individual is making actions or motions that are suspicious, is allowed to perform a pat-down of the outer clothing for weapons. The outer clothing. You can do a pat-down. If you discover a weapon, you can then conduct or make an arrest, and then you conduct a search incident to the arrest